Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what?
Ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh,
ooh. Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. 12-2. That's what we're talking about. Patriots still on top of the heap after, well, you let that music out real quick there, Kevin. Usually it'll linger a little bit.
It's the file ended.
Oh, the file. Okay. All right. Anyway. All right. Well, 12-2, top of the heap, still in control of the first seed in the AFC. That's what happens when you beat the Packers 31-27. A big win, a lot closer than we all thought it would be with Matt Flynn at the helm. I think the Packers defense rose to the occasion and certainly gave the Patriots everything they could handle on Sunday night. But a win is a win in the NFL. There's no team that is that good against any other team that they could just show up, and that was proven. So a lot of people think that it was a good thing for the Patriots to have that going into the last 2 weeks. You got Buffalo coming up and then Miami, two weaker teams. Maybe the Patriots needed a little bit of a wake-up call after having such easy contests the last few weeks. So we'll take it. 31-27, big game, some big plays, none bigger than Dan Connolly running, I don't know, 70-some-odd yards down to the four-yard line. The longest kick return by an offensive lineman ever, Andy.
Yes.
What do you think of
71 yards.
71 yards.
You already forgot?
I don't know how many yards.
It's the highlight of his career. It's a record.
Well, it's great.
How many touchdown passes did Tom Brady throw in 2007?
In 2007. It would be 50, I believe.
Right. Well, this is the same thing. This is in the record books.
Okay. All right.
It's a prestigious record for
wretched,
an offensive lineman.
Wretched record?
It was a great play.
What's going on? Why were you late?
I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Well, you asked, so I told you.
Where's Paul?
He's doing 3 points with Perillo.
Still?
Well, you know, it takes a lot of takes. You should be able to understand that.
His 3 points last longer than the Bill of Rights.
You do one around the NFL for our show, and it takes you at least 8 to 10 takes every week.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm not Paul Perillo. I'm not a media guy like
that
you
is
two.
True. That is true.
You know, with all the things you guys do.
I need to back you up a little bit, though.
Uh-oh. Beep.
We overlooked the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
There was nothing stunning about the defensive effort they put up. They're a good defense.
No, they are.
They're a talented defense.
But did not people...
They led the NFL in points allowed coming in.
But apparently people didn't take that into consideration when they were predicting the outcome of this game.
As I said on the TV show, we underrated the Packers and their ability to come in and do that, and we overrated the Patriots on the stretch they were on. We were being lulled into a false sense of security, or maybe not false sense of security, but being lulled by the blowouts in the offense and Tom Brady playing at a ridiculous level.
Well, we have to just remember what we've been saying all along about this season. No team is that much better than any other team.
Right.
No, you know, there's no great teams this year, and that includes the Patriots. Patriots have to be the best of them, but no team is great
but
this year.
The Packers were my pick to go to the Super Bowl out of the National Football Conference. Right?
Okay.
I mean, they're a good team.
No, they are a good
They were
team.
Without their quarterback, and that is why everybody said, you know, even Vegas, whatever, was a 10-point spread, and,
right.
you know, they can't win. But their defense was their defense. Charles Woodson was on the field.
Right.
Tremont Williams was on the field. Two good cover corners.
Yep.
Clay Matthews, the Claymaker.
Yep.
The Claymation special was
yep.
on the field.
Yep.
B.J. Raji was on the field. They have talent on that defense. It's a pretty good defense.
It's a pretty good defense. I mean, this is a defense that, you know, although the Jets have had problems with their offense, shut them out. Not a lot of teams get shut out in the NFL.
Right. And even last week, you know, some teams, some defenses, when your quarterback goes down, would fall apart. They kept their foot on the pedal against the Lions.
Okay.
Right? They
well,
lost,
sure.
but what was it 7-3 or 7-6?
Yep.
They lost, but... That's a decent defense.
So I'm back on board. Woohoo!
No, I'm just
I
saying you
saying.
Didn't roll out there
saying.
Against some,
yep.
whatever Charlie Weiss used to call them, slap you know whats and
right.
and struggle.
Yep.
That's a pretty good defense. Now I don't think the Patriots had their best night. For the second week in a row, Tom Brady I thought did his best to turn the ball over.
Yeah, I mean early on
he hit Charles Woodson
right in the hands.
On a nice outcut.
Yeah,
unfortunately he's on the other team.
Yeah,
and he just dropped it. He hit
everyone sucks but me.
Julian Edelman in the hands, and he tried to turn it into an interception. But
yep.
this streak is remarkable now. In that the last 2 weeks, I think more than a handful of plays should have ended in turnover. I mean, you get sacked, and Brady's able to stick out a hand while he's getting crushed and just pull it back in on a strip sack.
Yep.
So they've had their good fortune, but we all knew this team wasn't as good as roll out of bed and beat everybody 36-3 or 45-3 or something like that. Right?
Absolutely.
And if you have the corners, if you have the defense to match up a little bit with Welker and Branch, this offense could struggle. This offense could be limited. Because that underneath passing game, if you're able to run around with those guys underneath and get in their mugs and make put tight windows there, then all of a sudden it's a lot harder. And these drops that you give Wes Welker, well, they're contested drops. I still say they're drops, but they're contested.
Yeah, they were
You've
right
made it harder
pocket.
Than it usually
yeah,
is
sure.
for him.
Yep.
Because there's a body right there.
Yep.
So let's give the Packers their due on defense.
They
and
did.
Let's give Matt Flynn his due.
Yep.
He showed up in a tough spot and did something or close to something that Mark Sanchez wasn't able to do.
I mean,
it's
you
a
know,
cold night game, and he showed up, and he was game.
Here in New England, we talk about systems a lot. But certainly in Green Bay, they have a system. And the fact that Matt Flynn is, you know, body type, you know, and the type of quarterback he is, a lot like Aaron Rodgers, they didn't have to change up much. It's not like they were going from – you know, a running quarterback, you know, from a pocket passer.
Right.
These are two very similar quarterbacks in terms of style. The difference, obviously, is mental. I think that, you know, we saw, especially toward the end of the game.
And physical. Aaron
yeah.
Rodgers is more
well,
physically
yeah.
gifted than Matt Flynn.
But
Let's
I think
not
we
say
saw,
that the same guy.
The biggest thing is, at the end of the game, we saw what a seasoned quarterback is
no.
versus a rookie
we
quarterback.
We saw a coach crap himself.
Well, both. But
Mike McCarthy
yeah.
crapped himself and did nothing to help Flynn on the football field. Nothing.
Yeah. yeah.
He left him out there scrambling around with apparently no play to call in a fourth down situation, and they have 24 seconds left, and all of a sudden 24 turns into 7,
right.
and you're wondering,
yeah.
they may not even get a play off here.
Yeah, that was
an
crazy.
Embarrassment.
That was crazy.
And I blame Mike McCarthy.
You think it was the coach's fault?
How do you blame the guy making his first career start?
You know,
this guy's an offensive guru, a quarterback's guy.
I just have to think that if it was, you
he
know,
wasted
Rodgers
timeouts
out there,
earlier. He should have had a timeout in his pocket
I just have to believe if it was Rodgers out there, he would have done something to stop the clock.
To cover up his coach.
Well, maybe.
Maybe
well,
that's the case.
Yeah,
but
maybe, yeah.
The coach needs to earn his money right there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, sure.
You can't blame a guy making his first career start. That's the coach. You blew the timeouts.
All right, we're going to be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots and the rest of the NFL. The email is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number, and they took down my phone number. That's, I believe.
508-543-7482. You usually skip the 8 when you're even reading it, so
yes.
that's well done by you.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We already have a ton of emails, Andy.
I also want to defend Dan Conley.
You
wasn't moving as slow as some people were.
Well, for a
lineman,
everybody
was taking little pot shots. It's the fat lineman running
yeah.
down the field. Tom Brady said it's the slowest thing
yeah.
he's ever. I thought he was moving.
Well, I think what happened is it was slow to develop. Once he got ahead of steam, right. He was moving.
Well, because Bill Belichick's right. Yeah. He wanted to go down.
Yeah.
Your instinct there as a lineman is to go down, especially when you're carrying the ball with the points up and down. But he realized, holy crap, there's about 30 yards of green field turf in front of me, and just went with it. But I thought when he did that, when he realized there was room to run and he ran, I thought he was moving pretty good.
Teddy Bruschi had a good thing on ESPN Boston this morning. He went through, like, thought by thought what might have been going through his mind when he got the ball from the time the kick happened to when he got tackled. And I thought it was pretty cool. It was probably pretty accurate, too. You know,
my favorite part was when he looked like a real return and decided, I'm going to cut it back across the green.
Right. He's like, I'm going to get more.
Well, at that point, he was smelling the end zone. He's thinking, this is going to be the greatest play of my life. And unfortunately, he didn't get there. I wish he had gotten there. That would have been tremendous.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tiffany from Wisconsin's on the phone. Hey, Tiffany.
Hi, how you guys doing?
What's
doing
up, girl? Great. How you doing?
I told you it would be a tough game.
Yeah, we didn't listen.
Yeah, I told you it would be a tough. Everybody here was like, oh, my God, you guys are going to blow us out. I said, it's going to be a tough game. The Packers are going to come to play.
And they did. Yeah. And I'll say both sides of the ball came to play, including the quarterback.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I have three things that I'm upset about in that game because I DVR'd it and I watched it live. Is Ed Hockley going back and looking at replays to determine if that was head on it, you know, helmet to helmet collision?
That's certainly the accusation that's being thrown about.
Well, I'll tell you, Tiffany. I think overall, Hockley had a couple calls in this game that were just ridiculous.
And have you guys ever seen a pick be called a back?
Well, I have seen them.
Let me tell you,
I wrote about that this week in PFW, Tiffany, you know, the hands to the face, and I see pictures after every game. Those kinds of plays happen on almost every pass play that take over 3 seconds. Guys have their hands all over each other's helmets and face, and to call it at that point is just absolutely ridiculous. I'm right with you.
I just don't get why that undoes a pick. That had nothing. It wasn't the quarterback. It didn't cause the quarterback to throw the pick, and it didn't cause the receiver.
No, but any defensive penalty. Yeah, if you were offsides, anything, you negate the play there on the defense.
Then thank you. I didn't understand.
Yeah, and they didn't call. I mean, the guy making the call there, the referee, he's calling it just based on the play in front of him. He doesn't know that there's an interception going on behind him. It actually happens before the interception. So it's not like he said, okay, this was such a gratuitous cheap shot that I'm going to disallow an interception by calling it. He just calls it, and any defensive penalty there negates the interception that happens afterwards.
Right, and I think that's when this should have been over. But here's another thing. Was Ed Hockley at the spot of the when he declared it an incomplete pass? Wasn't he there at the spot? I thought that was him. And then he went and conversed with sideline judges.
The helmet to helmet?
Yeah, the helmet to helmet.
No, that was ridiculous.
No, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back in the backfield.
Okay.
And then he runs up and he chatted with them, and the accusation is that he looked at a replay.
Well, wait a minute. Now, was that over 5 minutes or under 5 minutes in the game? Because remember, the rules now is...
But it's the referee is different.
But he moved... Hockley would move...
Oh, the referee's in the back.
Oh, that's right. Referee's always there
anyway.
That's
the back judge, the line judge, or whatever they call it. Yeah.
So the guy who was near the play made the call. Why is he? I think that's part of the game where you miss a call.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly missed it the first time.
Right.
I think they got the call right. I think based on the rules they're using in the National Football League, that was a helmet-to-helmet hit. That was a penalty.
Then I have a fourth problem.
Okay.
Because everybody has a helmet, you're going to have incidental helmet-to-helmet contact. I think you have to make a distinction between someone using their helmet to launch themselves to try to hurt someone else, or someone where there's incidental contact because two guys have a helmet.
But the issue here is they're focused on player safety, and we talked about this way back when Merriweather had his. They're going to err on the side of, we got to clean this up. So some questionable calls that you can legitimately debate, and this one is different. It's not the launch of the crown of the helmet. This is side of helmet to side of helmet. But they're saying, keep your helmet out of the play. Get your helmet below his helmet. Hit with your shoulder, wrap up. Avoid the helmet to helmet at all cost. And they're going to err on the side of calling it more often than not right now.
Right. See, when they look at a play, if they see a guy who doesn't even have his arms out, you know, that's poor technique. So, yeah, it could happen that he hits him with his shoulder first. But when they see that poor technique, if it's incidental, like you said, they're going to call it.
For now, I think. At some point, I think they'll stop. I think they'll get away from it. I think this is the focal point right now.
Yeah, see, I'm worried because 15 yards in a playoff game is huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's assuming they call it the same way in the postseason. I'm not sure they will.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm hoping that they won't, because I think McCourty did everything he could possibly do, apart from cutting his own head off with the helmet and the head, to avoid hitting his helmet against the other guy's helmet.
Yeah, I don't think this was overly dirty. I don't think it's anywhere near in the conversation of Brandon Merriweather on Todd Heap. But the bottom line is, the visual is, it was helmet-to-helmet contact, and they're going to call
it. This is kind of like when you get your hands caught up in another guy's face mask. It wasn't intentional, but when it's in there, sometimes they have to call it.
As opposed to when Wilfork grabbed the guy and threw him down by the face
mask. That was
one of the worst, and then tried to claim, no, I had his shoulder pads.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You had his entire face mask in your hand.
Was everyone angry at Bantu Kane last night? I mean, Monday night. Sunday night.
No, I think it was a bad call.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I think that type of, like I said earlier in the phone call, that hands to the face happens all the time on pass plays, and it's rarely called.
Rarely called.
I see pictures of it. I saw two pictures besides that one of this game that
wasn't
called.
Well, Bill pulled him out.
Did you not put him in the paper?
I did put one of them in.
Did you see Bill pull him out and put in Fletcher? Who also made a play?
What's that?
Bill pulled him out and put in Fletcher, who also made a play.
Well, but I don't think that was like a benching. I think Fletcher was playing at other points in the game. They were doing a lot of substituting on Sunday night, because I find it hard to believe that Bill Belichick thinks that was any kind of mental mistake. It's a physical game. You're moving around quickly in your hands. Fred's right. It happens all the time where you touch people where you're not supposed to. Things happen. So to me, that's not a benchable offense. Just because it looks bad because it negates a turnover, maybe, but it's not a terrible mistake or a mental mistake that you would say, oh, the guy's not in the game or he's doing something to hurt the team.
Okay, just one last thing. What do you think of the Donald Driver cries about pass interference every time he doesn't get the ball? I mean, could that have went either way?
I've heard a couple people who were actually standing near that play, and they said that it was very close. So it could have gone either way, yeah. So, all right, Tiffany, thanks for the call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul's here. Hey Paul, how you doing?
Excellent. I didn't get a good look at the pass interference.
Yeah.
I don't think they showed a good replay. Either that or we just missed it.
I think I just missed it.
When they showed the replay. I didn't get a good look at that. Yeah. And it happened on the opposite end zone.
Right. A couple of people who were standing back there said, it was close. But,
I don't think that was a very big penalty in the game, to be honest with you. They were on the 3-yard line, and they moved to the 1-yard line.
Right.
You know me. I generally would side with Jimmy.
So.
A quick thing
I
found interesting. Skimming Mike Reese's blog as a little show prep, making sure I was aware of what was being said and going on about the team. Interesting that in his film review, he had a couple of notes from Chris Collinsworth, who I know you guys rave about as one of the better color guys in the game.
I like him.
On Rob Gronkowski's 25-yard catch and run, if you remember, across the field, said he deserves Pro Bowl consideration this year. And I thought that was interesting. I agree with him, because I think playing a well-rounded tight end position, he's played almost as well as you can play. I mean, he's not Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez type.
Right.
It's a different position in my mind.
And he may
Gonzalez is in the NFC now.
And
saying those guys, I don't think he'll ever compete with 80 catches or whatever. He'll have the touchdowns, but to me, he's not even playing the same position. It's a different position. It's a different role on this football team than he is asked
he's
to do.
He's playing a traditional tight end position.
He's asked to block more than half the time.
It's a combination of everything.
And the guys that do have 80 catch potential are not going to get there because, Gates has been hurt.
Right.
Dallas Clark is out. So a lot of those guys that normally have the big production at that spot, Todd Heap was having a pretty good season. He's been banged up a little bit now.
Right.
So there may be an opening.
G-Force in the Pro Bowl.
But I saw some ISOs on
without doing any
Gronkowski,
research, I don't know. There might be another guy.
I saw some ISOs on Gronkowski on Clay Matthews. Do you think Dallas Clark could have done that to Clay Matthews?
But
no.
I don't think
Aaron Hernandez couldn't
or
either.
They're not the same position. He's a tight end.
Right.
Those guys are split ends. They're
receivers. Right. So he's more well-rounded than
But trouble is, in this day and age, the split end tight end goes to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
They wouldn't ask Antonio Gates to do it often, but he could.
It's like Algie Crumpler.
Dallas Clark couldn't.
He's probably every bit as good a player in the role he's asked to do now as he was in Atlanta, but he went to the Pro Bowl 4 straight times or whatever it was in Atlanta because he caught 80 balls a year. Now he's blocking. And I still think he's doing that role as well as he did the other role, right. But one role goes to the Pro Bowl, one role home team fans don't even
it's
know he's doing a good
sexy.
Job.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we get into emails and stuff like that?
Well, we should touch on the Kyle. We touched on Dan Conley. We should talk about Kyle Arrington's big play. I know the ball was
great
thrown right to him.
Individual performance.
But to score there on his first career interception, four tackles, just looked like he had the will, was saying, you know what, I'm going to the house on my first career window. It looked, reminded me, I know the number is the same, kind of reminded me of one of those old Ellis Hobbs returns on kickoffs where guys would just hit him and he would spin out of it,
more,
pull out of
me,
it.
More Troy Brown. Troy Brown was a tough guy to bring down once he had the ball, you know, and strong for his size.
And it was an important play because...
Huge.
No, I mean, obviously the interception, but... Getting in the end zone to me was an important play because the offense was struggling so badly through the first three and a half quarters. Even on the Conley kickoff return, they took over on the 4-yard line. That was like tooth and nail to get in. They got in finally on third down. They really had to fight hard to get there. You know, let's say he gets knocked out in one of those tackles at the 20-yard line. They only kick a field
three.
Goal.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
They weren't
getting
the ball back because they have the ball for a minute 19 or something in the.
Without a doubt,
there.
The Packers defense came to play, and I think, you know, they may not make the playoffs now, but that was certainly a gutsy performance by a team without their lead quarterback. So hats off to the Packers, but more hats off to the Patriots, 12-2.
But no hats. They didn't give you hats to take off.
No hats yet.
No hats and T-shirts yet.
Those damn Jets.
Next game, beat the Bills, and they'll have hats and T-shirts. Jim Nolan coming on the trip? Because, you know, little inside joke here.
That just went outside the stadium in terms of, you know, tens of thousands of listeners.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com.
Joe?
Is the email address.
Joe Web Radio. See what I did there.
Let's get to one of the many, many emails that have already.
You know, I rarely want to talk to Eric or hear what he has to say about anything.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know his emotions last night while watching the Minnesota Vikings and Brett Favre playing, Brett Favre getting hurt.
He didn't watch that game.
He probably didn't. He was watching when that art guy on CBS paint the
when he's
trees.
Out of here, football is the last thing on his mind.
It's the last thing on my mind on Monday nights, I got to be honest with
you. See, I was entertained because of the weather, the field,
Andy
and the ice
and I
picks.
Actually like the sport.
Yeah, I do enjoy football.
Yeah, so
I do enjoy the game.
I do too,
Fred.
Andy.
I love it. I put it on last night just for what Andy said, just the spectacle of just how cold
you know,
is it
there? Breer almost made me not turn it on because I was checking my tweets throughout the day, and he tweeted every 30 seconds with a photo of the tarp, of here's the gas can they're going to use to blow up the this, they're warm that.
I was so
nauseated by him and his stupid little cell phone camera.
I watched a few series in maybe the second quarter just because I just wanted to see how cold it was, how it was affecting the game.
Did you enjoy the photos of guys tripping and sliding 5 yards on the field?
All of the empty seats.
Yeah, I know. They were worried that this one's only 48,000. This was how are we going to fit everybody in? And then they show like huge sections of empty people. You know, it was a blizzard all day long, and I wouldn't have gone either.
Yeah.
But the Favre thing, just, you know, he's out. And he's telling the crew on Friday, I guess, when they did their little app visit to practice, I'm out. I'm done.
No
I can't.
Way.
No way.
No way I can play.
And then he's playing, but they're showing him. And for the first time ever, unlike the cut on his chin, which I still haven't seen, which needed him to be carted off, his hands were different colors, which I think is an issue. You're an idiot. You're gaining nothing by this, and you're risking amputation. I don't know why your hand is turning purple and blue and shades of different colors. You can't even feel it because, A, it's numb. A, you got painkillers pumping through your body. And then just to see him in a pile on the field and all the trainers huddle over.
Well, luckily he got knocked out of the game, so no one was subjected to Jaworski and Gruden telling us how the Vikings weren't out of the game at the end because they had Brett Favre.
Well, to be fair, you know, he did march
times,
him right down the field.
How many times has he done it?
He made some nice throws early.
Yeah,
the first drive, they went
for a touchdown.
So the Novocaine wore off.
Then he tried to throw a pick. It wasn't. He threw another one that was actually picked, which I actually think he was trying to throw the screen pass into the ground and hit the lineman. It bounced in the air, and Peppers hauled it in for the pick.
Well, TG and NJ says, after what the Vikings did with the injury report in regards to Lord Favre last night, never again can the NFL give Belichick crap about messing with the injury report. Lord Favre started the day as out and ends up starting the game. What the F?
But that's him.
Has that ever happened before? I'm so done with his BS. Just go away already.
Yes, that's accurate. It's his BS. I don't blame Mike McCarthy. I don't think Leslie Frazier did anything funky. I think Brett Favre legitimately was telling everybody, I'm out. There's no way I can go. Oh, wait, this is a primetime game. A lot
Patriots,
of people watching.
The
there's
Patriots
weather.
Did do that.
Yeah,
once.
Joe Andruzzi
right,
did it, but it
yeah.
wasn't on the day of the
right,
game.
Right.
He was out all week.
On crutches.
And they upgraded him to doubtful before the game, and he ended up starting.
But I think
it wasn't
this is
the
all
day,
far.
It wasn't the day
I don't
of the
think
game,
the
though.
Team had anything to do with this.
I agree.
And
this is all
I don't
far.
Fault them. Because they didn't. I mean, Joe Webb is not ready to
Favre
play.
Favre basically
NFL.
Said to them, "I'm playing.
It's a show. I'm going to put on a show."
And the only thing that they could do was, "Well, geez, Brett, you can't. I mean, you're out."
Right.
And they said, "Well, maybe we'll just put out an injury report and upgrade you to questionable."
Right.
That's the only. I mean, he forced their hand.
It was
There's
all
no
Favre.
Doubt in my
yeah.
mind. It was all Favre.
Tracy in Vegas says, "Does anyone think that ESPN is laying the groundwork to hire Favre as a commentator next year? They act like he's the second coming of Christ or Luke Skywalker. And I may have missed it, but I heard no criticism of upgrading him from out to active. It may have been legal by the letter of the rule, but I think it's pretty unsportsmanlike."
No, I think it's garbage. I do. I don't get upset with the injury report stuff because it's just worthless, but it's garbage.
Well, Florio speculated that perhaps Favre knew he was going to be suspended for the next two games, so he wanted to get in for this last game.
So... Okay, well, I don't know.
But even still, I mean,
I think
that's not the way you want to go out anyway.
I think he was thinking it's a weather game. A lot of people are going to be tuning in just to see the stadium. Oh, the old tough guy in the cold weather doing it again. I think he realized the theater of this game needed the star, Brett Favre.
One more time, one last time to get fawned all over.
Yeah. I think in his mind, he probably has convinced himself, you know, my teammates need me. They really don't, you know, not at this point. They really
kind of do.
And not in the condition
I mean,
you're
he's
in.
He's better than Joe Webb.
Well, I don't know. In the condition he was in? You know,
he made
I'm not
some
sure.
nice throws early.
I'm not sure.
He marched him right down the field to
yeah,
a score.
For one drive. And
no,
in the
I know.
Next eight drives, he was
Joe
terrible.
Webb stinks.
Yeah. All right. Well,
if you get the
enough,
one drive two times a half, maybe you in the defense plays, maybe you get a chance.
Enough
Brett
Favre.
Did they score another touchdown on defense, or how'd they get the other
I
touchdown? Let's say, so they were one for one. One each. One drive.
Yeah, I don't know.
My guy did a little better. Toby Gerhardt. He did okay. He's not going to wow anybody, but he's a tough little runner.
He's not little.
He's not little.
He's massive.
Yeah, he is a big guy.
What he should do is get on. He should call Peyton Hillis in the offseason.
How did you
and up his game? If you know what I'm saying.
Ask Peyton Hillis how he shaved. I don't know, 3 seconds off his 40.
Right. All right. Giovanni in Arizona says, "Hey, ladies and gentlemen," and I'll leave it up to you to decide who that may be.
I'm a gentleman.
I've been Eric's a listener for a few years now, ever since that one guy with the nasally voice was on the show. I don't remember his name.
Good.
Probably Brian Morey.
I would have to think.
Anyway, quick points about the Packers game. Am I the only one that was annoyed with analysts and radio columnists alike? Seems that every single game is expected to be a Patriot blowout, and when it's close... the headline does not read Patriots win, but rather Patriots almost lose. I told that to a few buddies of mine who were watching the game with me, and sure enough, on NFL.com, I read Patriots receive scare. Anyways, I just wanted your guys' take on this. And P.S. for Paul and Andy, I own 16 Patriots jerseys, including a Vrabel and, of all things, a Matt Castle, so I completely agree with what you say on jerseys.
Good. I'm glad you agree with everything I say on jerseys. So you wouldn't buy a Woodhead. So he wouldn't like probably your cover words, Fred.
Bumble, rumble, bumble, stumble to win.
Yeah.
I kind of take my cue on these games from Belichick.
Right.
Belichick looked like he was at a funeral when the game was over. He was very, I think, very disappointed with his team's performance. He said several times, "I'll take the win." Very grateful for the win. Our guys fought hard, made big plays, and that was the difference. But by no means was that. He used the term... If we play like that, our season won't be lasting much longer.
Right.
This is an interesting
topic.
He
also said, and he said this before, you know, I need to coach him better. But he made it a point to say, you know, I just need to prepare them better.
Oh, it was different. This wasn't we got out-coached.
This was a little different.
A little
this
bit different.
Specific.
But I think that he told you why he says that. And why he says that after games. Because he was asked a couple times to follow up on. He was kind of pressed on. Well, what specifically?
I would love
to
know
everything.
That.
And he said everything out there.
He said when the players don't go out and execute, that's on the coaches, mm-hmm. is how he answered it. So I think that's his catch-all.
Yeah.
And anytime the players don't play well,
we
didn't prepare them well. We didn't put them in a position where they could execute.
See,
I've heard him say it 100 times. I thought this was different.
It was definitely different.
I thought
different
he actually believed it this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I also, like Paul said,
it was definitely different, Andy.
I would love
right.
to sit him down and say, you know, when you say that, can you give us a specific of something I asked him that.
And he said everything out there.
I know, but give me at least one specific of something you think you could have done better this week.
Well, I wonder, was the onside kick an issue? My guy Jimmy not being ready for that.
Not ready for that, yeah.
I don't know.
Just not ready for Matt Flynn, maybe. I don't know.
Sure. But the coverage, I think, is in. I was actually just skimming PatsFans.com, and they were discussing this topic in regards to the Giants-Eagles game, in that, you know, there's two ways to cover a story, the epic comeback by the Eagles or the colossal collapse
right.
by the Giants.
Right.
And I forgot the cover words, but they put Vic and a dog on the cover.
The New York Post did.
And they were kind of ripping that. But I need this explained to me. What did the media boycott Eli Manning's press conference?
No, what happened is everybody went to Vic. So nobody showed up except one guy in a backpack.
I saw that, yeah. And I'm like, I mean, around here, like, the Globe has multiple reporters. The beat guy is going to stay with Brady and the Patriots, and one of the other couple guys will go to Vic and write a sidebar.
I haven't heard of a boycott.
It was dead empty. Paul, yeah. Did you see the video?
No.
He's standing at the side of the podium. You see nothing but empty chairs,
thing.
And then some guy in a backpack walks in, but doesn't really look at him and kind of looks back and takes his back, like,
slowly.
Did he slowly.
Ask questions?
I don't know.
Because I heard quotes from Eli Manning.
Then when the kid walks in, then Manning goes to the podium and starts.
And starts.
There was one kid in the center of the room. Before that, it was totally probably two
and,
dozen
and
empty chairs.
Manning is just standing there next to the podium waiting for people to show up. Could
and you,
you
know
imagine that happening here?
He probably
Brady
has
wouldn't
to.
Wait.
He wouldn't wait.
And, but I
he
bet
barely,
he has
he
to.
He barely waits now.
I bet he has to for one of their sponsorships. You probably have to guarantee.
Right.
Eli Manning steps to the podium every post game, and we're
but,
paying you
and he did.
X million dollars.
I've never seen that before. I have
it was
never
amazing.
Seen that before.
No, I haven't.
But
seen
I didn't know if
like
there
that.
Was more of a story, because I heard somebody say something about a boycott. Were they boycotting him or something?
I'm wondering. Maybe did Coughlin talk after the game?
I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Did he?
Coughlin was beside himself.
Yeah, well,
never been involved
be.
In anything like that in my life, you know, on and on.
28 points in 7.5 minutes.
Oh, and by the way, we talked about this a little bit. There's a lot of criticism that gets thrown around for, you know, the way you play defense with a big lead. Well, that's the flip side of the prevent defense that you saw in the Meadowlands. There was cover zero the whole fourth quarter. They were blitzing rushing six or seven guys. They were all over Vic, and they didn't get him down to the ground. And when you don't get him down to the ground and you're in cover zero, you know, there's no one back there.
Right.
One time he ducked under a Deion Grant blitz and ran 35 yards up the middle. Another time he threw a pass down the middle to, I think, Selleck, and there was no safety there because, you know, there's not supposed to be. And he caught the pass, ran by one tackle, and he's gone. So that's how you allow 28 points in 7.5 minutes when you let him do it in big plays. That's the flip side.
You got any emails over there about Brandon Merriweather?
How
he's faring in the line of fire from the fandom.
Well, let's see.
I liked it better when he didn't play.
It got a couple.
So did Devin McCourty. He would just tackle guys for normal gains instead of 66-yard touchdowns.
See, Ron Borges said that Belichick's going to have the guys start to wear cowbells around their necks so the other defensive backs know he's coming.
Connor in Ireland says, are you concerned about the injuries to the defensive line? They seem to be exposed by Green Bay. My blood boiled every time that fella hurled a Patriot defender. I'm afraid that the recipe to beating the Patriots was showcased on Sunday night. Also, this has to be the last year of the Merriweather experiment. Meaningless picks and Pro Bowls aside, he sucks arse.
Well, first of all, it was Pro Bowl, and it was meaningless.
So, yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if Merriweather's not part of the equation next year. I know he's
wouldn't be on my team.
He's still pretty affordable on his rookie contract, certainly the end of his rookie contract, which is usually an even lower base salary than normal. But
okay.
I just don't see what he's giving you right now. I don't know what you're getting out of him. And I think he continues to take terrible angles. And I'm not talking about the hits, the style, the flash, all the stuff that seems to draw everybody's ire. I'm just talking about playing safety. He is never where he's supposed to be. He never goes
about Jimmy.
He never goes about his business the way he's supposed to. I mean, I think that angles and whatnot for a deep safety are the most important thing. And he is off his angle consistently in all kinds of different games. And you saw the latest example of it the other day.
Who did that happen to before? Remember when somebody threw Ty Law down, did the same thing? To Bucky Jones, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on...
interesting.
It was on LaDainian Tomlinson's 50-yard touchdown right in San Diego in
2002. Safeties, drafted to be corners, back at safety. Take bad angles, aren't natural, don't have the football instinct back there. Very interesting.
Fred in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Well, I'm glad the game's over with. I'll follow Wilfork's lead and say a win is a win and move on. There was a time when I was willing to give Merriweather a lot of slack, but my time has come. I've had enough. This guy reminds me of the crazy uncle that comes over for Christmas dinner and you hope you can just get through the meal without him trying to use the dog's head as an ashtray or making a toast with the gravy. Once again, we saw Merriweather's general incompetence rear its ugly head and take out McCourty on his way to a tackle, if not a pass breakup. We have Chung and Sanders. Let's just move on.
There was no chance at a pass breakup.
It was a correction. The pass was already completed.
But I do think he would have made the tackle.
The tackle would have been made by McCourty.
We have Chung and Sanders. Let's move on from this guy. Page. It's to the point now that you don't look for him to make big plays. You just hope he doesn't make idiotic plays.
Oh, he makes big plays just for the wrong team.
Well, he's had some interceptions. He had one last week.
When was the last time he had a big play?
Chicago, he intercepted him in the end zone. It wasn't, they had the lead and everything. But
Big play. Give me a big play.
My question is not related to any one game.
I'll tell you, one of the biggest plays he's ever made, unfortunately, got wiped out. That was a good safety play on the interception that he made this week.
Right.
That was a good play by a deep safety. Coming over, reading the play, and cutting in front. That's cover two. That's how it's supposed to work. And unfortunately, it got wiped out by the penalty.
My question is not related to any one game, but the team in general. I was wondering what you guys think of this concept. Does Bill not name any coordinators on his staff because he's tired of having college and NFL teams raid his staffs year after year?
I personally don't think that's part of it, but I don't have the
I'm not saying he's not tired of that happening, but I don't think that's why he didn't name a coordinator.
But we've talked about it. When we analyzed the whole not naming coordinators in the spring, that was one thing we threw out there, that it gives you an extra year, that the guy doesn't become quite as hot quite as quickly. Because let's be honest, I mean, Bill O'Brien, as before last week, could have been becoming more of a hot name. Now, I tend to think, regardless, he's going to become a hot name at some point because
I feel like
if you put up 45 points a week, somebody's going to say, well, who's calling the plays for Brady and those guys?
TG and NJ's all worked up.
TG.
Good.
Paulie is right. The officiating sucks. guys, come on. The Hockley video call in the Patriots-Packers game, why is this not a big deal? They didn't throw a flag until several seconds after the play and after watching the replay on the HD video board. What does this say about the coaches' challenges? What does this say about the instant replay? Doesn't this prove that all calls are judgment calls? Does this prove that the officials have been usurped by technology? Is this an opportunity the NFL should look into in regards to how the games are officiated? Fans at home watch the replays and make the call amongst themselves. Now the officials are doing it. Why are they there at all? Could the officiating be done via video or at least assisted by video? I think this is a bigger deal than the Thighgate and Sturger and Lord Favre. And it happened in front of the commish. Too bad this story doesn't have more legs. Even Florio only gave it one post. Does PFW even care? Oh, and who was running the big board for that game? Does he still have a job? Well, I got to defend the guys at the upstairs in the board because that was not a call. That was not a play that was challengeable. So there's no reason to not show a replay of that.
I totally agree.
It's a hit. It's the kind of thing you want to put on a big board that gets the crowd going.
That wasn't a challengeable call.
And besides the fact, Andy hits on something, that's exactly the kind of play you want to be showing.
Right.
Because it didn't draw a flag.
Right.
And it was a big hit by your team.
Yep.
Now, if that's why they made the call, that's wrong, and they should be reprimanded for it.
I think so.
If there's some kind of video proof that Hockley and his crew looked up, and that's how they made that call, they should be reprimanded for that.
I
think the call was accurate. I think the call was correct.
It was, but
you can't get there by that means.
Right.
And I said that at the time. We all of us agreed at the time. We looked at it and said, you cannot wait this amount of time and then throw a flag. And we all had already seen the replay, and we thought it was a head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet.
Yeah, but they can't do that.
It's not in the rules.
Reminds me of that time. Remember the field goal that they didn't review, but they changed the call?
Yes.
Right.
Well, you can't do that.
Ross from Glasgow.
Do your job.
Men of PFW and Eric, just to give you some background, I'm a junior doctor and had just finished a 12-hour shift in obstetrics and gynecology on Sunday. I was tired, and not to be too graphic, I had seen some things that no man should ever have to deal with.
Well, luckily, Eric's never seen it.
Everybody just do your job! Let's just say that this is another example of why mixing business with pleasure is never a good idea, not something Eric needs to worry about. So I decide to stay up and watch the game, which started at 1:30 a.m. locally. By this stage, I'm pretty tired, and then it starts. Now I get that Green Bay played well and we were poor. Our D-line was beat up and we missed more tackles than I could count. But Ed Hockeylight, for a guy who apparently calls a lot of fouls, he sure didn't call a lot of Green Bay offensive holding. I'll skip the whole Tully Bannacane personal foul call, as it was the McCourty call that really upset me. Even Mike Reese thinks he used the video replay to make the call. What were your views of it? Are there not any rules preventing video replays being shown in the stadium before the refs have made the decision? Either way, I would expect Bill Belichick to give Kevin and the other guys behind the glass some serious abuse.
Kevin.
Now, I think that people are missing the point in this, that if the referees use the video,
That's wrong. There's no reason.
That's not within their rules.
The guys upstairs have no reason to believe that
the call was made.
Now,
right. The play was over and the call was made.
But let's just listen. It's easy for us to say. But if you know you're meeting, you're discussing something, and you know you effed up, and this massive screen comes on and shows that you effed up.
But that's,
I know it's easy for us to say you can't do that, but I just think it's hard to ignore that.
But how would
how big is that screen, Kevin?
No, I know. But how would you but it's not the guys running the replay board's fault.
No, because I didn't say it was.
It's not even like
I'm just saying human nature is the mistake that you just made is being played for you on a screen that's the size of a house.
Listen, only they know
but they had no idea that's what they were talking about.
See, I don't know what they were talking about.
No. I'm just saying I think the replay should be shown because when there's no flag, it's the kind of play that you want the stadium to see. You want them to get worked up.
I agree.
Right.
But my point, I also can see how, as an official, when you're discussing something and literally you look up and it's massive and you're like, well,
sure.
Yeah, we blew that one. They threw the flag.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My point is just that, you know, only Ed Hockeley and the crew know.
Right.
What were we talking about? Was someone saying, you know what? I think that was a helmet to helmet. We got to call that. And then someone sees it and gets it verified.
I'd go with two guys in the huddle were saying,
we were calling it.
I know you missed it, but.
Yeah.
You hit him in the head.
And listen, and that happens. Sometimes the guy's right there, and maybe he's shielded off and didn't see it. And then the other guy comes over and goes, I think you missed that one, Joe. I mean, you gotta call it. And then maybe they see the video. Only they know that.
Right.
You know, they might have all been saying, I got that clean. And then Ed looks up and says, yeah, that wasn't clean. We got to call the penalty.
Right.
If that happened, that's wrong.
Yeah,
that
was wrong.
The least of my problems with Ed Hockeley on the night. He was using descriptions and terminology I've never heard before for no reason.
You call it like you see it.
Right,
from
the opening kick.
There was no timeout. It was a
administrative stoppage.
I mean, just saying thing. No other official have I ever heard talk that much or use those phrases. What are you doing?
Justin in Alaska says, a win is a win, though it reminded me of the Eagles game in 07. I'm not concerned, as the Pack had a great defense, and that's the way it goes. However, it does seem that the key to disrupting Brady is that timed offense is pass rush up the middle. You edge rush will kill you. But if you go right up the gut, that's the key, like the Giants in the Super Bowl.
I think you're right.
I think it's part of it. I think the other key, I think you have to disrupt the receivers, and I think they made the receivers uncomfortable. They were in their pockets. They were not making life easy, just saying, catch it at 3 yards. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, two things they did very well. Is they got pressure all night, and they had the Patriots in long yarded situations all night. And that eliminates – how many times did they have those little throws to Welker? Some of them he didn't catch because it was real tight coverage, but you'd see that on 3rd and 3. That's a first down.
Right.
But it was 3rd and 11 all night. Right. So even if he was catching them, they weren't going to be first downs. I think that was the two things that it made it a little bit easier to get him in long yardage to get after the passer too.
So, Fred.
Yes.
What did we argue last week? Was that last week or the week before that you argued that this offense was better than the 07 offense?
Well, yeah, but I tried to change the argument. I tried to change the argument by saying right now the way 07 was playing in December in the way 10 is playing now, what would you choose?
Okay, so compare it to Sunday against the Packers.
Well, that was the same Sunday.
That was the same Sunday.
Right, it was before Sunday.
That was how they played in December.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
I'm just asking. That's so do you want to try to change the argument again?
Now, you know, now it's the same. Like
Paul lunch?
Said.
Can you play lunch on the big board?
I didn't finish Justin's email. He says a couple of items for you to roundtable real quick. Merriweather, is it me or is this guy a coin flip on each play? Meaning he is either out of position hurting our defense or he's making a play. We hope. I wonder.
It's not a coin flip between those.
It's a two-headed coin.
Maybe out of position or hurting the team. It's a coin flip between one of those two different things.
I was angry at him. Do you remember when I said he's the worst safety in football, bar none, the worst safety in football? I was angry at the game.
I'm wondering if he's more of a liability with his independent streak, or is Bill okay with some freelancing because there's a high potential of a big play, I think.
There is?
Well, Mike Reese said...
I let Ed Reed freelance.
Mike Reese speculated, and it probably wasn't speculation. It was probably he had some information that one of the reasons that Merriweather didn't have a lot of time in Chicago was because he might have missed some meetings or was late for some meetings during the week. So, again, that on this team, you don't do that.
I don't,
and you should know by now you don't do that.
I think the freelancing thing is overrated. I think people use that as an excuse. I just don't think he's in position. I don't think he knows where he's supposed to be. I don't think he's...
Well, maybe that's his excuse.
Whatever it is, I don't think he freelances. I think he's not good. He's not where he's supposed to be. He doesn't take good angles. He's not a heady football player.
That's what I see from him.
Freelancing is guessing and going the right... I just see him... He's... Because he's never...
Palomalo freelances.
Right.
Absolutely.
And when he freelanced against us, it bit him in the buttocks.
Hurts him.
I don't see that with Merriweather. I see him going kind of where he should be, but always in the wrong direction and at the wrong time.
And the thing that sticks out to me, you know, the play, everybody says, well, he's making some plays. Don't confuse interceptions with plays. Devin McCourty has made some interceptions this year that have been plays.
James Sanders.
As I said,
we could counteract the Pittsburgh play versus the Colts play. He made a play in one, and he didn't on another.
Brandon Merriweather's interception that was nullified would have been a play.
Never happened.
The one at the end of the game against Green Bay. Most of his, he's just kind of floating back there and the recipient of a tipped ball or an overthrown pass.
Josh Freeman hits him in the chest.
And he just catches it. Or Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson.
Not even Josh Freeman.
Wrong Josh.
I just don't think he's made very many plays in his career here.
Justin also says, Edelman, I thought the ball he dropped was a rocket shot and anyone could have missed that. But now that Tom went back to Edelman and he dropped it again like he did against the Colts, will Tom not look to him in the red zone again? In other words, is he screwed as a receiver as he was viewed as the younger West before?
It's been a very strange year for him.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sure.
With how little he's been involved on the offense.
He's been very good on punt returns.
Very good.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy to tackle. I just am surprised. I mean, I wasn't anointing him the next Wes.
I was.
But I was surprised he didn't end up with 35 catches in this offense.
It's just,
and he has really not had any opportunities.
Where's he going to get them?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And the limited ones he's had, he hasn't really maximized.
So we got to get him the ball. He hasn't earned any the way he's played.
But I just think with Branch and Welker and the way the offense has developed and with Hernandez, I just think he's the odd man out.
Obviously, they've played well without him.
I also don't think he was that good. I think he was in a role that would... I got deceived.
And
I said this last weekend, everybody got all worked up. He was in a role that had to produce, regardless. He was going to get balls thrown his way. He was going to catch them. Kind of like Woodhead. I think he's produced in a role that is going to produce.
And Welker.
Quick would you rather from Justin.
Did you catch that? Welker. Just nothing.
Right.
Jag.
Well, why can you pick and choose the guys that...
Because if Julian Edelman has four straight seasons of 100 catches, I might have to say, you know what, he's a little better than I thought he was.
Two games was 16. But if he does that...
Then I'll change... Yeah.
No, you won't.
I always do.
No, you won't.
Yes, I do.
But you can't recognize that fact that if Welker... Let's say Welker's knee injury was even more serious and he couldn't play this year, you don't think he would have 85 catches?
I'm not so sure. I don't think he's that good.
I don't either.
The first day I saw him on the practice field, I debated it with Mike Reese and said, this guy's a Jag, and he goes, no, they like him.
I'm not arguing with you how good he is. I'm arguing with you how many catches he would have.
I don't think he would, from what I've seen now.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
He might be targeted as much, and eventually they'd say, no, we're not throwing the ball to this guy anymore because he drops too many.
I think Hernandez would have more catches. I think Gronkowski'd have more catches.
He's been targeted about 10 times all season, and he has a couple of drops.
I'm just speculating and now what might happen.
Now you're saying he can't catch the ball.
Not as well as Welker.
He's had a tough year, but don't tell me last year he wasn't dropping the ball like that last year when he was targeted all the time.
Why would he have earned all those targets, Paul?
Because of the position that he plays, is my point.
I'm saying they would take him out.
They wouldn't. He'd be in that spot. If Welker were out, he would be in the Welker spot.
They'd figure out a way.
He wouldn't be doing what Wes Welker's doing because he's not as good.
But
it would be a reasonable fact.
I don't think so.
So last year he was, but this year he wouldn't.
He wasn't last year.
He wasn't a reasonable facsimile in that playoff game last year. He only played about five games for it. Right. He caught 48 passes, the big one in New York,
but I remember at the time we said, to get him his catches, you had to throw it twice. Whatever the number was, the targets was far more than Welker.
I don't think they
He's not
going to
catch 125 passes like Welker.
I don't
He'd have 85. That's a big drop off.
I don't think they would. Not with this offense. Last year they would. This one? With Gronkowski and Hernandez, I don't think they would. I think you would see a different offense.
No, they wouldn't do it long enough, Paul, to give him those catches.
Why?
They'd give up on him.
Why do you think he wouldn't catch the ball?
Because of what we've seen so far.
Yeah, give me some examples besides the two that you're talking about this year. Last year they threw the ball to him and he caught it for the most part.
Now, I don't think he's got as good a hands as Welker. I'm sorry.
I didn't say he was as good as Welker.
Good as hands, you know?
I didn't say he's as good in any facet of the game as Welker.
So then they wouldn't throw it to him as much.
I didn't say they would. I said he would have 85 catches. That's not anywhere near as many as Wes Welker does.
It's 15 less.
No, it's about 30 or 40 less. Welker catches 125 a year.
He did once.
Once?
Yeah.
He caught 112, 114, and 125.
Okay, so he only did 125 once.
So that's a significant,
look,
that's a significant drop-off to 80.
85 catches a lot for any wide receiver. I'm sorry. And I don't think
he'd get close to it. I'm telling you that the slot position in the Patriots offense would catch that amount of balls.
And they would change it because he would. They couldn't trust him. Of course,
that's where I agree with both of you. I think the slot position would, and I think Aaron Hernandez would be in the slot all the time.
Right.
And I think Aaron Hernandez would have 80 catches.
I think they'd redesign their offense a little bit because they can't trust him.
I don't think they'd redesign the offense. They haven't done that in 12 years.
Because they haven't had to.
Fred,
really?
You don't even believe your own crap now.
Go get water while you guys argue. Tickle in the throat.
The guy has a ball go off his hands. All of a sudden, he can't catch.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
You know, 8 attempts.
Okay.
So he can't play now.
Okay.
Let's just cut him then. Let's cut him. What's he on the field for?
I think he's great in punt returns.
Great?
Yeah, great.
Great?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, him and Devin Hester. I can't decide who's better.
Oh, okay. He's not Devin Hester. I'm sorry. So he shouldn't be on the field.
Well, that's great.
Not Devin
that's
Hester.
An example of a great punt returner.
All right. He's pretty reliable and good in punt returns.
I think he's been excellent in punt returns.
Okay. Excellent?
Excellent.
Okay.
I think he's been excellent.
Like Devin Hester?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a much, much higher level.
Okay, that's better than excellent. That's
but
really,
he also,
really, really, really
he also
excellent.
Has had how many chances? 15?
For punt returns?
Maybe. 15?
Well, I don't know. That's a product of the defense. Not you know, that's not his fault.
He wasn't the punt returner all year, is my point. Welker was.
It's not Julian Edelman's fault. Let's see. Justin also says, would you rather Bill retires after the 2010 season so he can travel the world with Bon Jovi and Snooki? Would you rather have Bill Cowher as the new Patriots head coach or John Gruden?
John Gruden.
I would take Gruden, but I wouldn't be happy about either one.
I think they're both
you know,
overrated.
I'm with Paul. I don't want either one of them.
But Gruden
that's not the way the game is played.
Gruden
either
would
or.
Be my pick. I pick Gruden.
Gruden is the answer. Cowher is the most overrated coach in history, I think. Or one of them.
I got Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, he was my other option upstairs. Yeah. Those were the two I posed this morning.
Yeah.
Shanahan or Cowher. I think Shanahan may be more overrated because he has multiples, and people assume if you have multiples that you're great. But I think they both are I said this for the TV show. I don't get why Cowher earns the right to have his wish list and everybody's going to kowtow to him. And what's he ever done?
Right.
Underachieved with his Pittsburgh team. As you said, had strong coordinators. He leaves and they win a Super Bowl. The next guy in line is just the same. He's never picked personnel. He's got Kevin Colbert, who's done a phenomenal job with that. So what makes you think Bill Cowher is the guy I'm going to bring in to change my franchise?
I'm right there with you. I mean, and this is probably a discussion for an off-season show, but if Belichick ever did decide to retire, of the guys we know of, who would you want? I don't know. You know, it's a long discussion.
I would take Fisher a year from now. Give him a year off. Maybe right away. If I have to do it right away, I'll take Fisher.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Fisher needs to be done there. But I think he's a good coach.
He definitely deserves to be done. Needs to be done.
I think you give him Brady some, you know, stability at the quarterback position, which when he's had, he's been pretty good. I think Fisher could coach this team.
Yeah. But do you bring in a GM with him?
Because
that's the other part of it. Do you give him full control?
No, I don't give Jeff Fisher full control.
Right. So that's.
I wouldn't give anybody full control. I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's probably where I'd.
Chris from Connecticut says,
I'm not sure I would have given Bill full control. Maybe that would have been a bad decision, but
yeah.
I'm not so sure I like that business model.
Hope you've recovered from the night game. I have enough trouble getting to sleep after those late ones. I don't envy you guys for having to meet a deadline afterward.
I would have no problem getting to sleep, however.
I almost got to sleep many times on the ride home.
Yeah.
They're getting worse and worse. I think the snow was lulling me to sleep or something. It was, whew.
In any case, here's hoping that was the last exhibition of it's only the backup quarterback. We don't have to bring our A game this season. One aside, we need to stop talking about the current Pat streaks. I agree with Paul that the home win streak is silly after last January's no-show versus the Ravens. On Brady's streak without an interception, I'm the type of person who thinks a QB shouldn't be penalized for when a pass bounces off a receiver's hands right to a defender. So I also believe that we should stop talking about this streak when, for example, a perfect pass to Charles Woodson ends up on the ground. I'm just saying. Anyway, It's just about that time of year, so I figured I'd send in the 12 Pats of Christmas.
Nice.
Thanks for a great year so far. It's gone beyond expectations in a lot of ways. So on the 12th day of Christmas, thank you, Kraft Family, for 12 wins account in accounting, Connolly a rambling, Dion Branch returning, Wes Welker catching, Wilfork 2 techniquing, bending but not breaking, 6 blowout victories, Dev McCourty, 4th round to Moss, 3 tight ends, 2 running backs, and a QB named Tom Brady.
Well done.
All right. With that, as soon as Kevin gets back to his cage, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey,
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Kevin, have you heard, first of all, lunch is, of course, it's Tuesday, so the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, has supplied us with lunch. Thank you, James. But he's also sent it an email.
Thank you, James.
Somebody
Thank you, James.
Complained to Comcast about our show not being on at the right time.
Probably. I haven't got a chance to look at it yet.
You haven't listened? Okay, when you do.
I will.
He sent us, I don't know how he got it, but he got some a complaint to Comcast, so that's interesting. Jordan in London says, during the British broadcast of the game, one of the presenters commented on Belichick trading down in the draft and whether the Pats should have drafted Clay Matthews. In the 2009 draft, the Pats had the opportunity to draft Matthews but traded down. When you put together all the picks Belichick compiled, starting with the pick we could have used on Matthews, the Pats ended up with Butler, Tate, Edelman, and Gronkowski this year. My question is, would you trade these four players for Clay Matthews? I think both teams, I think they also talked about that in the American broadcast, and I think they concluded that both teams made out pretty well with that. You know,
I didn't want Clay Matthews.
Yeah. But now, in hindsight, would you have?
Well,
no.
Now, but
no, I wouldn't have. And normally, I like the star player. I'll take the star over the four good players any day. And in that, those particular four players, to me, you're talking Gronkowski for Matthews. Because
right.
I think Edelman, Tate, and Butler are eminently replaceable guys. They're just guys on your roster. Normally, I just don't think Matthews is that good. I think this is an aberrational kind of year for him statistically. And I also have my questions about long-term, what he's going to do. We saw his teammate Cushing already get nailed for a four-game suspension. And I'm wondering about Matthews, to be quite honest. The rumors have dogged him all throughout the pre-draft process, and I'm not going to be surprised if he's one of those guys.
Did you see Clay Matthews at, Brian Cushing get into a fight with one of his teammates and they got penalized because he threw his helmet off?
Yeah, I don't think he should have gotten penalized for the helmet thing.
I don't know. It's weird.
Because the teammate knocked his helmet off Cushing's head. He didn't take his helmet off.
Oh, I know.
And so,
but I think
unless
they're saying it's the same.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
we're
think
on the same team, and so if you take your own off or if somebody else, because the NFL and their slippery slope mentality, you know, Emmitt Smith can't take it off after the touchdown, but if the guard comes up and removes his helmet for him, is it not a penalty?
Yeah, it's weird to me. I mean, the situation was very strange. And you know that the big thing in Houston this week was don't get involved in anything after the fight with Johnson and Finnegan. And then one of the guys, and I don't even know what the other Texan it was starting to get involved in something. Cushing ran over to get him away, and the guy got mad at Cushing. And then they ended up fighting. What a mess. What a absolute travesty.
Speaking of fights in a game, did you see the fight in the Lingerie Bowl?
Is this a serious
all-out brawl? It's on YouTube. And
slippage?
Jay Glazer tweeted out, he goes, what a shame they were so close to legitimacy. So it was
kinda
very
like
fun.
MMA. I thought the Lingerie Bowl was at the halftime of the Super Bowl.
I don't know. It was just a big game. There were a lot of people there.
Wait, is there a lingerie league? What are we talking about?
I don't know. It's just on YouTube now.
You brought it up.
Alex writes in, and let's see, where's Alex from?
Georgia.
Falmouth.
Oh, I thought this was the guy who was like
Bledsoe's boot.
Yeah, isn't that Alex in Georgia?
I think so.
There might be another Alex, I don't know, but this Alex is from Falmouth. He says, on Arrington's run back of the interception, did he cover himself in Vaseline prior to the game? He just slipped out of four tackles like he was a greased pig. and what a great tactic for Dan Connolly to slow down and let the Packers defenders overrun him.
And run into each other.
Boy, I bet they were surprised when they got to the end zone, turned around, and saw Connolly behind them. On a sad note, I just happened to look at stats for running backs. As if Denver isn't having a bad enough year, Lawrence Maroney is averaging 9 carries a game and 2.1 yards per carry. He's got 74 yards and no touchdowns for the year. Come January, management is going to have to come to decisions about who to retain going forward and who to cut loose. Lawrence hasn't given the Broncos any reason to make him part of their future. And finally, looking at the calendar, isn't it time for Bill to place a call to Junior Seau? We were talking about Junior.
You mean 9
today.
Yards a game?
What's that?
Because I think he has like 30-something carries for 70-something yards for
and
the whole season.
And he hasn't played in for like the last few games,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well, maybe... Maybe he's only played in four games, so the 30-something carries is nine a game. I don't know.
So
we were talking about Junior upstairs.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, we haven't
forget it.
Not for any reason we could talk about here.
No, but after...
Now I just remember.
After his incident, we haven't heard any really follow-up with that.
Because it was a huge story.
Yeah.
That day, it was like breaking news. Junior Seau drives car off cliff. No one ever followed up with it.
No. Let's see. Sean from Atlanta. Guys and Erica was wondering if Paul was getting worried throughout the game for giving the nod too early. Also, you said on curse words to remind you of the hysterical exchange between Andy and Eric. Oh, yeah, that was good. You guys were talking about...
You'll have to remind me as well.
No, you guys were talking about somebody in the locker room. And whoever
story.
That... You were speculating that person said about Eric, stop looking at my penis. What was it that you said?
I kind of remember this.
No, but what happened is...
And it was Kyle Arrington.
Yeah.
And Eric said something about he was telling me to stop or something, and I said something of that nature. Stop looking at my
right? Penis. No. So listen. So here's the thing.
I don't think we should be talking about this.
But you said Eric said, Andy, you know, why don't you stop? And you said, well, Kyle Arrington was probably telling you to stop looking at his penis.
Yes.
But then Eric says, oh, I walked into that one, and that was even funnier because
I go, well, maybe that's the problem. You walked into it,
right? So that was fun.
We should probably not have told that on the air.
Though. Why?
I don't know. Because you know how sensitive he is.
Yeah, that one's going to...
But it was a funny exchange.
No nod on Sunday night, though, Freddie. That was a tough one.
Well, you nodded before the game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Patriots
were
going
to devaluing the stupid nod.
I thought they were going to blow
put
him up.
Put it with Matt Light's all-pro status.
But in reality, for the game, there was no nod. That game was never over until it was over.
No. Warren in the UK, my emails recently haven't been read. But I just wanted to write in.
Very upset.
I just want to write in and say, damn, this team has surprised me so much this season. I had us at 11-5, but didn't expect our play to be as good as it has been in recent weeks. Chung produced another great tackle on Green Bay's final drive Sunday night, wrapped up the wide receiver just before he was about to make a first down and possibly even more yards after that. I think
that was
now,
a huge tackle. That was a huge, huge play.
I think now getting to the Super Bowl is very realistic, but I do like a few of the NFC teams and think if we get there, we'll have a tough game on our hands. Also, Oakland beats the Colts this week. Jags take over the division again. That'd be interesting.
Where's that game? In Oakland?
Yes. Could happen. Oakland could run it.
Sure could.
Oakland could run it right down their throat.
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of emails coming in. I want to thank everyone for that at webradio@patriots.com. You can call us at 508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. I mean, a lot of emails are coming in.
Why don't you read a few of them?
What's today?
Tuesday.
21st?
Correct. First day of winter.
So fan voting is closed. That was yesterday, right? The 20th. Team will be announced the 28th. They'll be voting this week, I believe, is the schedule of the Pro Bowl. Be interesting to see what kind of love Patriot players get from coaches and opponents, what they think of what's going on here, the rookies.
You know that no matter how many they get, that they'll use it as motivation that they got screwed.
No, I know. But, I mean, from one perspective, I think they could get none. Tom Brady will get all the votes of the opposition, and virtually no one else will. Or I wonder if people will vote for the tight end, you know, a rookie tight end like Gronkowski, a rookie corner like McCourty. Could he get any love? Will Mayo get any? Will Forkel get love, I would think. But Mayo, you know, you and I, Paul, like to question, is he a tackle machine? And does tackle machine mean good? Like I think the Globe wrote it when they wrote a story that had the headline tackle machine.
Right.
Or London Fletcher tackle machine, where we kind of think it's what the middle linebacker does. And if you're decent, that's just what you do. And I like how you get that assessment based on the voting and what people think, because I think Mayo was like fourth in fan voting for inside linebacker, fifth.
I have no idea.
So he got enough fan votes where I think if he got some player votes, he'd have a chance. But if he doesn't show up, it means, okay, well, the players don't think he's very good.
Dan Heffron writes in and says, I just want to let you know I finished the night before Christmas home.
Thursday?
And I needed to see when it needed to be in and who I should send it to this year.
Thursday, right?
We'll send it to webradiopatriots.com and we'll read it on Thursday.
Now, will you be working Thursday? I need a clarification.
He gives you the look.
This from the man. Yeah.
We should explain. Fred's been wondering all week when he can be done for the week and go celebrate Christmas. And we explain to him.
That's Andy and Paul's role.
Right.
And Fred tells us, well, you know, you guys work for a football team. You know, we have to work.
First, he was looking to get out really early on Friday. Then he realized, actually, the organization has a half day on Thursday, and could he get out early on Thursday?
I just want to know what your plans were. That's all.
Just so, to clarify, Fred, if by chance the team is off on Friday,
yes,
we can try to squeeze, pump things out, and get stuff done on Thursday.
Yeah, why don't we work late on Thursday?
I don't know if I can. No, but in all seriousness, if the team is off on Friday, there's a chance we can pump things out and get Thursday done and take Friday off, just so you know.
Okay.
So you can get to your, what was that concert at Fenway?
Whatever you guys need to do.
Police. Whatever. Is there a police concert, a holiday special?
Zach from Syracuse.
Syracuse.
That's how he writes it now.
I like it. It's kind of like the, what's the guy, the mailroom?
Greg and Billy.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
I like
in
how
English,
they
please.
Give themselves characters.
Well, that's what Fred did.
Well, this one. I think Greg from Billing.
No, Fred gave himself a character, Jake Steele.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody
else
does it, too. I like it.
What the F on Merriweather? He's supposed to tackle the other team. Whatever happened to leading the AFC in interceptions and being the next Ed Reed? This guy's useless. His only picks come from overthrows. He never jumps a route or tries to make an athletic play. Sick of him.
I'm okay with that email.
A lot of people on
the Ed Reed comparisons ended in
poor
his Miami
Brandon
bio.
Merriweather.
As soon as you ever saw him play, you knew he wasn't Ed Reed. Was never going to be Ed Reed. Would never be worthy of.
Well, I mean,
being mentioned in the same sentence as
Ed
Reed.
I don't think it's fair to even think he.
But it was in his bio at Miami.
And unfortunately, people write stories about him and
Boston Globe.
You know, that's what they talk about, the comparisons and how he's coming into his own and he's a playmaker. A
he's coming
field.
Into his own. He knocks him right off the ball carrier.
Okay. Not what I meant, Andy.
And I didn't even make that dirty because
I know you
could have really gone a dirty distance there. Oh, the short guys are on again, Paul.
Yeah, Joe Morris, number 9.
This was an entertaining special.
Freddie, would you like to listen to this complaint?
Sure. This is the complaint that James Pettigrew sent in. Somebody called into Comcast.
This is audio?
I'm not sure.
This is audio.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's 3 to 4 minutes, so I'll let it go for a little bit.
Okay, let's go.
So you can eat.
Yep.
I'm not hearing anything. Produced?
No, wrong thing. Hang on.
You shouldn't play the wrong thing at the wrong time. It can get you in trouble.
When I open the web radio account on this thing, it does weird things to the computer.
Should we talk for a little bit? You need a minute?
You want us to vamp?
Jim in Detroit.
I'll just read another email.
Quick question, guys. Who has better hands, Brandon Tate or Julian Edelman? Also, do you see Brandon Tate ever getting moved into some slot routes?
No.
Yeah,
I don't think that he's. Yeah, I agree with Andy. I don't think he's suited for that. No,
he's just a little bit too stiff, I think, for the slot role.
He's not smooth.
Yeah,
I don't think he's also really all that quick. I think he's faster
he's
than
fast.
He is quick. And I also don't think he's a polished route runner. I think
that's the
inside.
Problem.
You need to be more polished.
That's to me the biggest problem with him not being a slot guy. I think you have to be impeccable on your routes, and I don't think he is.
Aaron from Sterling, Virginia, what was going on in the press box during the game, Fred? You were getting pulled away constantly.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you had a story for us today, something about the commish? Yeah. Well, obviously people know the commissioner was in the house on Sunday, and we developed this little application for club seat holders. So I get this call in the middle of the game. The commissioner wants to see the club seat app. And so, you know, you need to send somebody up or you go up and take the commissioner down to the club. So I started having to scramble to find somebody to go up to where he was, bring him down to the club, and then explain the whole thing to him.
And you had 3 employees to the left of you going, please not me,
please not me,
please not me.
Well, no, and nor would I ever do that.
Well, for something that we had nothing to do.
No.
Don't say never, because if that was something that we could have done,
if you could have
one of us would have had to do it.
I wouldn't do it. Actually, and also I wouldn't do it during the game. I you know, that's not
kind of is our job to watch the game.
So,
I'm just looking for that opening, Andy. Well, obviously, they didn't think I needed to be there for that game.
Why don't I take them all off?
Christmas
now?
Day, there's no need for me to be traveling to Buffalo.
Right. So I was scrambling trying to arrange all that thing and do the blog at the same time, try to watch the game.
Plus, you can only hear out of one ear.
Right. So,
all right, Freddie, here we go. This is
we read like three.
Oh, I forgot you were there.
This is Stevie H giving Comcast a piece of his mind.
Stevie H. All right, let's hear it.
Thank you for calling Comcast, home of the customer guarantee. This is Lamaya speaking, and how may I assist you today?
My name is Lin Tan Hooper.
How are you doing today, sir?
Forgive me, I have a voice box.
Okay.
I have a complaint to make.
Okay. Would you be able to tell me your phone number so I can pull up your account, please?
With whom am I speaking?
My name is Lamaya.
Sorry, Bob. Spell it,
it's
please.
Lamaya.
Spell it, please.
L-E-M-I-L.
What was that? Q?
L-E-M-I-A-H.
I have a complaint to make.
Okay, can you tell me your telephone number so I can pull up your
Have you ever seen PFW in progress?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what that means. Are you having technical issues?
Even the company doesn't know the product.
Have you ever read a paper? Patriots Football Weekly. It's a quality read, I must say. Always has a catchy title. I read it when I'm emptying my bag. Anyway, back to the topic of conversation. You keep changing the time of that PFW Weekly air.
We're changing
1 o'clock,
the
time. 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 13 o'clock, 27 o'clock. I can't keep up. I'm in a wheelchair, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm not making out what you're attempting to say. Are you having technical issues? Or, I'm not sure, does it have anything involving Comcast, the company?
Patriots Football Weekly. You keep changing the time of that PFW Weekly air. So what are you going to do about it?
But what channel is this, sir? Because we don't have any control over channels changing for times.
I'd like to speak to the Vice President of Programming.
Unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to do that, sir.
How
like
about
I said,
someone
once again, we
in
have
marketing?
No...
We have no control
over times of the shows. The only thing we control as a company is our on-demand. We do not control times and shows and stations getting aired.
Bob from accounting, can I speak to Bob? Do you know Bob?
We're a very large service center.
Do you know Bob?
If you have his extension, I can attempt to reach him.
Great guy. Great guy. We used to wheelchair break dance back in the 80s.
Wheelchair break
dance. What about some sort of compensation?
I'm sorry, sir. Compensation as far as what? You still haven't been clear on what the issue is.
I think he's been
clear.
Because
I'm black?
Have control over the channels.
Is it because I'm black?
No, not at all, sir. I'm not sure where you're going with this conversation,
American?
But it will have to be Comcast related in order to continue to go forward with it.
Is it cause I'm an Eskimo? Is it cause I'm white?
Is there anything else I'd be able to help you out with today, sir?
Can you email me an answer?
No, I would not be able to, sir.
I look forward
is there anything
to hearing from you soon. I must
related.
Go and empty my piss bag now. Kisses on all your pink parts.
Oh, my God. That is,
okay,
that's
well,
good.
Thank you very much for calling in the Comcast, and you enjoy the rest of your day, okay, sir?
Okay.
Oh, wow, that's great. That is awesome.
CBH.
I thought he was really clear. I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah,
it's a shame that the own company doesn't know about their own shows.
He was talking to Comcast service. That was the problem.
I know.
That would have been even funnier if he was talking to the TV station.
You had to call Burlington.
Oh, that would be – that same call to Burlington would have been priceless.
Yeah,
because they would have been like given all kinds of excuses as to why they have to change the time, and he's going to be coming back with, "Is it because I'm black?"
Oh,
I mean, that
Eskimo.
Was
that was really funny. I like that. Good stuff, James Pettigrew. John from Georgia.
Being independently rich seems like it's a lot of fun.
John,
raise asses and make prank calls all day.
John from Georgia. Hey, Fred, Paul, and Andy, did you guys get to hear the call of the week? It had to be Chris Collinsworth's description of Dan Connolly's return. He said it's the old loaf of bread play. I snorted my coke on that one. I think he's pretty good too, Andy. So that was the call of the week. Wow. So
he's running like this.
I think he actually started out with it properly, and I just think in the running it shifted. Because when he goes through, I won't even say the traffic because they ignored him, but he kind of put two hands on it and covered up. And then I think when he rotated and started running fast, the ball just kind of shifted, and he tried.
Chuck from Brighton says, that was so funny, I was close to snarfing on that last one.
What one?
On the James Pettigrew
film. Oh, it was tremendous.
That was really good.
Stevie
It was worth listening to.
It was a great idea because you kind of have the guy by the nuts.
Right.
Because if it's real, you're now in big trouble if you hang up on the guy.
American Disabilities Association is calling you to have your job.
Yeah. Right.
I had calls like that back in my days at the Herald, and no question I would have hung up on that one.
Really? Yeah.
No question.
Well, you, Paul. You would have got into an argument with
right.
the guy.
Yeah.
You know the whole, you got to play it safe? Yeah, I didn't do that. I assumed that the guy was playing a joke on me, and then if he called back, I would apologize and say, oh, I'm,
We get a lot of jokesters around here. I'm sorry I didn't take
you. Did you have a lot of jokesters?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys would call up, and they'd want to know what time the Red Sox game was on. It was just, like, stupid stuff. And you know that they were just calling, just, hey, let's just bust their balls and do something, you know, stupid things like that.
I had a friend who, and this is, he wasn't kidding around.
Did you notice he used your guy? His name was Lincoln Hooper.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
A friend of mine who sprained his ankle actually called the 7-Eleven down the street and asked them to look in TV Guide to see what was on TV that night. This is obviously before the Comcast schedule and all that. And they did. They told him what was on.
Used to get tons of calls like that.
Yeah.
What channel is the Red Sox game on? I mean, like every Red Sox game is the same channel for how many years? My TV won't work. Then they call the paper. You wouldn't believe.
Mike and Raleigh, I think the Patriots had the best outcome on Sunday. They got the W and should have been humbled at the same time. Even though I love watching the Patriots blow out teams on a weekly basis, it's good to get a nail biter in there to highlight areas of improvement. This way, the young team doesn't get too full of itself heading into the playoffs. What are your thoughts? And also, I hope you have a happy holiday. PFW subscriptions were bought for my relatives this Christmas.
Nice.
Well, here's to you having a big family, Mike and Raleigh.
You might get them at some point.
Yeah, that seems to be the prevailing thought, is that it was good to have this game to keep them humble, to give Belichick something to talk about this week. And you know,
well, that's the positive side.
Yeah.
The negative side is, we're not as good as we thought we were. So I think it's better to stay with the positive, right, until you're proven that it's not true.
How good do you think that they thought they were? I mean, forget about all of us and other media and fans, but do you think that they thought that they were that good?
Well, I had quotes in, was it my last week's story or the week before? When was the week you were sick, Paul? 2 weeks ago, when they beat the Jets. And the quote from Aaron Hernandez was, "We just have so many weapons. No one even gets tired out there because we have so many weapons to put out there. It's hard to defend this offense." And the defensive quote from James Sanders was, "Now you see what we can be when we do what we have to do. Dominant."
Yeah, I think
they thought they were pretty good.
I think they were getting pretty high on themselves. But I think that the bigger picture that I would worry about is just how good are they? You know, and as a fan, I would be like, wow, the last couple of weeks, I'd be like, it's coming. I mean, the defense is improving. The offense has been very good. The defense is kind of catching up. And this week kind of said, maybe I was a little bit ahead of myself. The defense is basically the way they've played most of the games this year, and the offense wasn't quite as good as it has been. So maybe do I have something to worry about
a little bit
moving forward? No, I mean,
you won the game.
Ultimately, it's not
going to
matter.
If you win a Super Bowl like that, are you going to say, well, you know what? We won the Super Bowl, but we're not as good as that 04
team. You can also
look at it. It's totally missed. How can
you start printing your DVDs?
Right. How can
totally
a team
games to glory?
How can a team in this day and age only have the ball for 19 minutes and still win? You can look at it that way, you know?
I just think, who cares? You won. You know you're not great. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that thinks this Patriots team is great.
you know,
that is going to be compared to anything of any era. But you're certainly comparable and as good as or better than every other team in the league.
Yeah, but that's,
and you've proven that throughout the season.
Yeah, that,
so what
I mean,
does
that,
it
that wasn't my point, whether or not it, who's going to apologize for winning a Super Bowl. My point is I was pretty confident as a fan 2 weeks ago that we were going to win the Super Bowl. I'm less confident today. That was the only point.
Quickly.
I'm talking about from the people. If you're looking at it from that,
oh, from them, yeah.
From that perspective,
because you never thought they were going to win it.
I've been telling
Who's
you that
they?
for a month now. I think they are going to, and I think they're going to win it in Dallas. Yeah, I do.
Well,
they
that's where it's being played.
No, I think they're going. I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Unless the roof falls in and they have to play it at a high school stadium down there.
Craig from Ontario. How many times have teams won games with only 19 minutes of possession and scoring 31 points in the process? Teams obviously feel they have to get creative to get extra possessions against this team in order to win. We have only had 843 plays from scrimmage, which is 26th in the league, and we have scored the most points with 446. The Falcons have 974 plays and scored 369. If we had that many plays, we would have had an adjusted total of 515, closer to the 07 numbers. The difference is the defense in 07 got off the field on third down and got the offense the ball. The team is scoring points against any defense. It's important to realize that our team is built for depth and versatility from 1 to 53. This team is better than 07 because they can morph into any type of offense depending on the weak and specific weaknesses of their opponent. Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Why do you make faces the whole email and then you don't want to say anything?
I'm eating a cookie. Go ahead.
No, that's a good point, Andy. You can't just be a sideline guy.
I'll say
get
what
into
Andy's
the
afraid
mat.
To say.
I already said it. That
first of all, in
I
terms
made
of,
fun of you for saying that this offense was better than 07. I think that's a joke.
In terms
that
of,
was for the – oh, come on. That was for the argument.
No, I know, but this guy's arguing this offense is better than 07.
Teams being creative trying to limit possessions – if throwing a pick and allowing a guard to run 71 yards with a kick is part of your creativity to limit possessions, that costs you a game. The Patriots offense didn't score the points this week. It was other ways. They got 14 big points off of big plays in other areas. That's not by design. That's not what the way the Patriots wanted to do. They didn't morph into that out of because of any plan. They got shut down by a defense that played very well. Now, the question is, how many defenses are capable of doing that? I don't know. Because lately, the defenses haven't been doing that.
What do you think about his point about this offense being more versatile or, adaptable than 07?
I don't believe it is. I think the offense in 07 could beat you long, could beat you short, could beat you running the ball by the end of the season. They could do it all.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, they scored 14 points in the biggest game of the year. But... again, I'm going to stand by the fact that we always talk about situational football. And it doesn't matter how many you score, it's when you score them and how you execute when the game's on the line. Well, when that game was on the line, the offense went 80 yards and scored a touchdown to take the lead with, a minute and a half left?
Right.
Wasn't enough.
Right.
Plus, if they had had a pick six and a 70-yard touchdown return, they would have had 28.
Can you imagine how many points they would have scored if they had, how many? This is a record? No, it's just this year, right?
8 or 9.
It's not the Patriots record. It's this year record.
What?
Non-offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, they're second to the Cardinals.
But it's just this season. It's not the Patriots' all-time record.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
Jim in Detroit says, hey, Fred, why don't you ever read my emails? Is it because I'm black?
or Eskimo.
Right.
And then he goes, or white.
That was funny. Oh, that poor guy on the other end of the line.
I could never do that. I'd be like Paul. I'd swear.
To me, that was pretty clear that the guy was...
At what point did it become clear?
Yeah, not right away.
Pretty early.
Yeah, because I'm sure when you're customer service
guy, you get those.
If the company's smart, they're saying, look, you could be getting these types of calls. So,
plus, you never know if the person, even if it is a crank call, if he's a whack job, he's going to come kill you.
Right.
I wouldn't want to have to deal with the public like that. That's why I avoid the public.
Yeah, you'd be really good at that. Dave and Indy. He's a Pats fan from Indy. He's not the Colts fan. We used to have a Colts fan that listened.
I think we still do.
He's around.
Yeah.
He says, just thought I'd drop a line and get your opinion with the last two games coming up. I believe the Pats will lock up a first-round bye with a victory over the Bills. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That's correct.
But my questions are, do you see the Pats playing it safe and keeping it on the ground more for the Buffalo game, or do you think they'll mix it up with the running and play action?
Well, Paul actually thinks both running backs this week will go over 1,000 yards by rushing for somewhere in the range of 185 yards each.
It's not true, but...
He wrote it, and I thought he wrote what he meant.
Wrote it before the game, assuming that both running backs would actually get the ball in the games that they were playing.
Fred Jackson had 811 yards, I believe, through 14 games.
Now Paul, he's got 812.
Paul says he's well on his way to another 1,000-yard season.
He had like
14 weeks, he's got 800.
He had 800 yards heading into last week, so I figured, well, you know, he'd get 50 or 60 yards. He's well on his way to another 1,000 yards. Well, it didn't work out that way. Same with Benny.
Right.
You know, Benny got, what, 30 yards in the game? All one run?
In one run.
Two, if they do beat Buffalo, do you think they will rest their starters for the Miami game, or at the least only play the starters for a quarter or two and then rest them?
No.
I think they might rest them in the fourth quarter, but, you know, if they'll have that extra week after to rest up. So right. I don't see where getting rest in the last week is, you know, that much more. So.
Yeah, I've seen them do it both ways. I've seen them on that bye week. Remember they played San Francisco in the last game of the year 1 year here, and they had the bye coming up, and they didn't play very much in that game. I wouldn't be surprised no matter what he decides,
well,
to be honest
if
with you.
He's done it
so many different ways.
If they beat Buffalo, do they wrap up the number one seed or just a bye?
Yeah, if they beat Buffalo, they wrap up the number one seed.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, because they're right now, they can't finish behind anybody but the Jets.
Right.
The Jets is the only team that can finish ahead of them.
Because of tie. Okay.
Because if the Jets win both and the Patriots lose both, Jets get the number one seed.
Okay.
But Pittsburgh right now is two games behind New England with two games left, and the Patriots have the tiebreaker.
Now, so I know Belichick doesn't like to look ahead and all that, but I do think that because of that, this week he uses that as motivation. Look, if we win this game, we get the number one bye. Should he be using that as motivation this week?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. It's a hat and T-shirt game. They do that all the time.
Why wouldn't you?
Are
you noticing this, by the way, how much soda Paul drinks? Because Paul can't drink soda today because he's having something stuck up his butt tomorrow for a pleasant colonoscopy.
I'm having an Andy Hart removed.
Literally, there's like a half an inch of soda missing. And normally, you'd be throwing that bottle in the garbage right now.
I usually drink a 2-liter.
I think you drink a 2-liter during these shows.
Well, Fred usually has a glass or two, and the rest of it is me.
But Fred's still drinking, and there's like nothing missing.
I said he usually has a glass or two, and the rest is me.
You drink a 2-liter during a show because you always open the second one and get into it. Oh, yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, yes, you do.
No, I don't. I drink one 2-liter.
I see in your mind, you put the cap on and you throw it and you're opening the other one and there's always 1.5 left.
That's completely inaccurate.
You drink over a liter of soda in the show.
Yes, I do. 2 liters.
I mean, over 2 liters.
No, that's inaccurate.
He's denial. First step in the process.
We'll see next week when I come back. Thursday.
Who knows?
Rather, not next week.
You have a major surgery tomorrow. I don't know if you'll be back.
It's not major surgery.
Things happen, Paul.
Things happen. You know. Sometimes they leave tools in you.
No one will be happier than Andy. I get an office. Oh, hey.
Actually, wouldn't that be weird if they left the tube? Did you hear that story about the hospital that wasn't cleaning the tube between colonoscopies?
Oh, don't even start.
I swear to God it was a real story.
No, it is.
I think it was in Rhode Island somewhere. It was some shady
hospital. That makes
sense. Not surprised.
But they were cleaning the tube at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, but not in between.
Oh.
They were using it up and down people's butts.
Eric says that's better, though.
What?
That hospital is better.
Oh, yeah, because it's in Rhode Island.
I thought he was going to say it. Yeah,
I was trying.
I thought you were going with it. Feels better that way.
Right.
I thought it was, you know.
Dave Wright finishes up. He says, I'm having flashbacks of what happened to Welker last year. I know this year they have more weapons, but still there's a risk. Talking about resting guys in that last game.
Well, that's an interesting topic because we were discussing, Paul, beyond Brady, most indispensable on the offense. Who could you not afford to lose on the offense right now? Because we're all saying if they win the Super Bowl, they're going to have to win by offense, by scoring points. Who can you not lose on offense?
That's a good question.
I would probably go with Welker.
Yeah, probably.
Not Woodhead?
I think you could get by doing something else.
I think I would go with
else.
Him after.
What about
after
you
Gronkowski?
Know, as cra- well, maybe
I'm going
one of
Gronkowski.
The tight ends. Yeah, because that
going G-force,
yeah.
The pass rush, the red zone catches.
Red zone,
I'm going Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Because he's my guy.
As crazy as it may sound, what about Matt Light?
It's as crazy as it sounds.
I think he's the well, I don't want to be
But as depleted as that offensive line kind
you,
of
you
is
move
right
Vollmer
now.
Over there and you don't even miss a beat.
Yeah, but what happens at right tackle?
You put
Mark
LaVor or whoever.
Quinn Ojanaka.
Ojanaka. Someone goes out there.
But again, that would also be value for Gronkowski because I think he's valuable in that role helping the tackles. So I'm going Gronkowski.
But you have three of them.
Who?
Tight ends.
I don't think you have. I think you only have one that fills his role.
You have one other guy that can catch a pass and one other guy that can block like him.
But not do both. And he does both. He goes. That's why he's the motion man. That's why he's the tweener guy on all plays like that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know where he is. I think if you try to get by, you lose.
Okay.
so old. Just so you guys know,
what?
Burlington should be expecting a call.
Now, who's he asking for, Fred? What's the name? Len Mead?
No. Oh, boy.
I mean, that's part of Paul's income, so just be careful, will you?
That's not part of yours?
No.
Oh.
Not at all. I could care less what happens up there.
So that means we're not getting anything for the show? Is that what you're telling me?
I never did.
He does it pro bono.
Oh.
Yeah. Lyndon says,
sucker, it says right across his forehead.
He should actually be paying them for all the tape he burns.
That's true.
Those are expensive, you know. I heard him talking about it one day.
Really?
Like 20-something bucks or something for each one. It's
they
like
can't
a disc
like erase them and write over them?
Oh, yeah. Of course they can.
I don't know. Yeah. But I just heard talking about how expensive they were.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not really tape like it was in the old days.
I hope they save yours.
That
could be entertaining at a party.
He really is an ass.
Colossal.
My God.
My God.
The one where you said, I'm really sorry about this.
Well, that was a bad. I had a bad one.
That was the one day when I stopped laughing.
I did just three takes.
Just three takes? Not bad. I had a stumble on one of my points. Yeah. I had to do over.
When I went to do mine, I said, hey, Moose, what did Fred do on his? And he goes, which take?
I kind of changed it up midstream.
So you didn't write it out this time?
I didn't.
Don't say you never write it out.
I said
it was just three takes, proving you're better. The one you wrote out was like 12 takes.
That was the time that you had to apologize.
Right.
Which never happened to me before.
It's like a commercial for ED.
Now the fire ignites.
I'm sorry I'm not the seasoned TV professional that the two of you are.
But that's the whole point is we're not.
We're not.
You know.
It's not that
do you
hard.
Get nervous?
Is the point.
No, I just start thinking ahead, and then
because you script it, don't think ahead. Just have a conversation with the camera. Tell the story you want to tell to the camera.
Probably doesn't help that I don't think of what I'm going to say until like 10 minutes before.
Neither
we do
it.
I
though. But that's why you just treat it as
that's what
treat
I,
it just like this show.
That's
pretend
what I
somebody
use the car ride for.
What did you do today? What did you really do?
I did the end of the game. You know, Tom Coughlin, how. You know, he made it a point to show the world that he blamed the punter for the
so
end
you
of that
should
game.
Just
but, you know, the fact that they got to that point to begin with, he should have not been so worried about the punter and worried about everything else.
No, but my point is, to start yours, you should just think, hey, Fred, what'd you think of the end of that Giants game and the way Coughlin put on a show? That should be the question. Just pretend somebody asked you the question, and boom,
and
answer it.
Then I would have swore, and then they wouldn't be able to use it anyway.
They can't use most of the stuff you do anyway.
That's right. So I can't do it your method. I have to be a little bit more.
You're the seasoned veteran here. I mean, there's a picture in your office of you interviewing Governor Rowland in Connecticut. I mean, you've been around for decades with
that
famous celebrities and politicians.
True.
I mean, you are the mastermind of Three Games to Glory. You've seen the front of the camera, the
true.
Behind
That's
the
all
camera.
Jonathan Kraft. It's all Jonathan
But you
Kraft.
Are the man who gets it done.
Not
you
me.
Are his right-hand man.
Not me.
You used to be.
I'm just playing out
until
the
string. Until they kind of redistributed the power within the organization.
I'm just playing out the string.
And you missed that meeting.
And you showed up 20 minutes late.
I'm waiting for the call. Bring your playbook.
I thought you got it during the game, actually.
Yeah. I thought one of us got it during the game. I'm going to be honest with you.
That would be even longer than normal walk out to the car.
Lyndon
the final
from,
walk.
Lyndon from Colton, California. The stats just sent in on this year's offense were interesting, but it seems like we're scoring more on defense and special teams than we have in the past. I don't think this year's offense is anywhere near the offense from 07.
You're right.
How much do you think injuries played into the Pats' defense playing poorly Sunday? I hope the Packers' success had more to do with Spikes, Pryor, Brace, Wright, and Diedrich missing time and not with the Pack figuring us out.
Yeah, did Vince Wilfork play end because they wanted him to play end or because they didn't have any other ends?
To?
And they're okay with Love playing nose?
Could be. Could be. Listen, they're missing a lot of defensive linemen. That's a factor. You can't lose four guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to leave a mark. At some point that's going to affect you. And also spikes. That's a big part of your run. When you're talking about front seven to stop the run, even though Green Bay can't run the ball, that's a lot of guys missing. So I got to give them at least a little bit of a pass for Sunday night.
According to strippers, the Patriots have worked out defensive and outside linebacker Phillip Hunt on Monday. Hunt, who recently worked out for the Cleveland Browns, Philadelphia Eagles, and Vikings, played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the CFL the past two seasons. He's 6'1", 248, and had 19 sacks over two seasons. So
halfway to Cameron Wake's numbers. What is he, outside linebacker, D-end?
Yeah. Only 6'1", though. He's not the prototypical outside linebacker.
Beggars can't be choosers.
It's not right. Eric Moore type.
Just we've already cleaned out the UFL. We've moved on to the CFL now.
Get him out there and just say, go after the passer. Don't worry about dropping. Don't worry about, setting the edge. We want you in pass rush. Like Bill Cowher, rush the quarterback as he spits all over Greg Lloyd.
And that's why he's the hottest coaching candidate on the market.
Yeah, there you go.
Lyndon says, good luck tomorrow, Paul. Hopefully the nurse doesn't forget the lube. My wife just took care of a patient whose colon was perforated by the camera. She was in the ICU because of the toxins leaking into her body.
I really want to thank our listeners. This is
for making him feel good.
Exactly what I was looking for, a little pick-me-up as I go into...
I was telling him he'd be eating burgers by noon.
I do hear that they give you some nice drugs prior.
Well, it gives you amnesia.
Yeah.
Is this your first one, Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah. I took my
first time.
I had to take my dad.
Be gentle.
He wasn't walking right, but he wasn't that bad when he came out.
I was hungry. I was ready to go eat.
You've already had one? Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a lot of medical issues.
He's had everything up there.
It's true. You're a sick, sick man.
Yeah.
Many, many ways.
Now, why did they use hamsters with you?
Gerbils.
Oh, was it gerbils?
He is a bad, bad man.
He goes, oh, was it gerbils?
Are you mental?
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Vishal from St. Louis is on it. Hey, Vishal.
Hey, how's it going?
It's pretty good.
Hey, I just have a quick question for you guys. Do you guys think this season is headed to the same way as 07? Because I felt as if yesterday after watching the game, that teams are finally figuring out how we're winning.
No, because I don't think I think the Packers are a pretty good defense, and I think they have some of the pieces in place for the pressure and the coverage that give Brady and this offense problems. So I don't think just anybody can do it. I don't think just anybody could do what the Giants did in the Super Bowl. That defensive line dominated the game with the pressure on Brady like, it was their job. They won the game for that team, and I don't think just anybody can do that against this team either.
Okay, and who is Eric Moore? Every time he's out there, it's as if he's like getting to the quarterback.
No one does more with less reps than Eric Moore. But yeah, he's from the UFL. Played for the Florida Tuskers. He's bounced around the NFL for like 4 or 5 years. He's certainly not a name you should know, but he's made some
starting
couple
to
plays.
Get, starting to get to know him.
You got to hope he's all right, too. That last play, he was pretty gimpy that last play.
He's done more with the number 98 jersey in two games than Sean Crable did in 3 years, so I'll give him that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that's it, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Peace out, Vishal. Vishal, talk to you later.
Tim from Clovis, California, formerly from Walpole. Hey, Fred, Paul, and Android.
He's such an idiot.
Android with the hemorrhoid. First, how about that
pass? I do have those, you know.
Am I going to have those?
If there's something bad on the back end, you've got it.
Listen, I went to the gastroenterologist again, and she's like, so are the hemorrhoids bothering you? And I was like, what hemorrhoids? She's like, oh, when they did your colonoscopy, there's filled with all kinds of stuff down there. And I was like, well, I never really had any problems. She's like, oh, then don't worry about it. Apparently I got all kinds of issues going on down there. I don't really know what a hemorrhoid is. What is a hemorrhoid?
Andy Hart.
It's like a blood vessel,
I just snarfed
right?
on my own spit.
Is it blood that yes. kind of builds up or something?
Yeah.
On your butt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is it bad?
It hurts.
I hurt.
Oh, it hurts.
They itch, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, because on the commercials. Sit on one of those rings, those inflatable
Why do
rings?
I keep looking at Paul every time I want to?
Well, he'll find out tomorrow.
I really don't have any issues. This is totally preventative.
Yeah, yeah.
He just actually wanted to see what it felt like.
I have some family history. That's why they moved it up a little. Normally, you wait till you're 50.
The guy would be like, so, Paul, you like Miller Lite? You got a couple Vortex bottles up there.
Does he have a miner's cap on? Fred's looking like.
So, Paul, you like Miller Lite?
Now, why don't you just drink it? Why don't you just take the whole can? Because you like it in the can.
First, how about them Pats predicted 12-4? I do every year. So, Paul, whose knob did Breer buff to get the NFL job? Oh, wow.
Well, that's pretty good.
Fred, a lot of different knobs, by the way.
Fred, as a fellow homer, you the man. My wife knows how good the game is going by my demeanor. Game good, life good, game bad. Wifey stays the hell away from hubby and goes shopping. I was not surprised by Green Bay. They have a tough defense, and we are missing a lot of D linemen. I'm sure the trip to Buffalo will not be easy. They play 60 minutes and don't quit, and you know how division games can go. Thanks
Anything
for the
can
great
happen.
Show.
Throw the records out.
Thanks for the great show. Never miss it. Keep up the good work. Tim from Clovis, California.
That was almost prepping for Bill post-game. You know, that's about what we expected coming up to Buffalo late in the year. Wind was a bit of an issue and a tough game.
So ridiculous.
Bills fight hard.
Jack Soupy Shapiro is only 5 foot, one half inch.
He knew his limits.
Shino from Chicago. Who do you think or would like to see the Pats play in the second round of the playoffs?
So our first playoff game?
Yeah.
The Chiefs.
Chiefs would be my optimum.
Why do I – see, here's the thing about the Chiefs. And this,
you should be worried.
This is crazy Fred, okay? You know me with my vindictiveness and spitefulness and all that stuff.
It would hurt so much more losing
to
him.
So I go in there and, like, I would rather lose to the Steelers or the Colts than – Bill, you know, then Scott Pioli and Charlie Weiss. And
is it a group thing?
Fred thinks we're losing.
Or is it any member of the group?
I think mostly Pioli.
Okay. I was being serious with that question. I just wanted,
and Matt Castle.
Because Vrabel and Castle
that I don't
and
like
Romeo.
Castle,
and,
but it'd be like, oh, all those guys, you know. And
they got what and we then, want. Then Seems like a to, family over there.
Yeah, then you have to listen to everybody like, oh, they know Belichick. And blah, 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 you know?
Well, that's I think that could be a legitimate issue.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
And I also think, I said this, Paul, actually, we talked about this on our walk out to the car the other night. I think that would be a game where Bill might be in danger of overthinking it because he knows how well they know him, how well Romeo and Charlie know him, and he might try to do something a little too crazy, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes into the game, you realize that wasn't a good game plan coming in, and we're fighting an uphill battle here. So I think you could lose to the Chiefs. I don't think you will, but... they don't turn the ball over. They run the football pretty well. If you're still banged up on the defensive line, they can run it on you. They got a chance.
There are definitely some facts about the Chiefs.
Not opinions?
That would worry you. And the running the ball part of it, you know, if they come in and have a great running day with their two-pronged attack, and they're able to do what Green Bay didn't and hold on to the ball. Now,
and not turn it over.
Now, to me, the time of possession was a little deceptive the other night because when you return a kick and you return an interception, you scored touchdowns on your possessions that didn't take any time off the clock.
Certainly the pick in the third quarter when it was like 13 minutes to one
and
change.
That's why the Packers had the ball the whole third quarter, because in between, the Patriots didn't get the ball but scored 7 points. So there's a difference to me on those. But, yeah, that would be a concern. You know, legitimately, Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones could control the clock, and Castle's been very effective in that complimentary passing game with Dwayne Bowe to score touchdowns, and all of a sudden you're in one of those games. I just don't think they're good enough to compete with you. I don't think they're high-powered enough, and I don't think they would be able to. You know, the coaching would be an aspect that would worry me. How much do they know, and how much can they do what Eric Mangini and his staff did with a bunch of guys that were obviously familiar with Belichick? But that would still be my team of choice, Freddie.
Okay.
I'd rather play them than the Chargers or the Colts or the Steelers.
They're all going to be...
I'll tell you who might be the number one right now, the way it's... The Jets. They just don't look like the same team.
Yeah.
Even though they had a big win this week, they just don't look right.
Right. Scott writes in from Arlington, Virginia. Hey, guys, love the show. Couple points. Needing a wide receiver for my fantasy playoff, I picked up Joe Webb, Favre's backup, because he's listed as a quarterback wide receiver. I thought I could get some big points. Bottom line, Favre started... took a quarter of points from Webb and caused me to lose by 1 point. Lord Favre is a pathetic and so egomaniacal that it's not even football with him anymore. I'd call him a media whore, but that's disrespectful to whores.
It's true.
Disrespectful to media whores like me.
The Packers.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
I just said that. the Packers game is a blessing for this young Pats team. It has all the benefit of a loss, and we still get the W. All this talk of the elitist Pats being untouchable is going away, and they can go back to putting that chip on our shoulder, and Bill has bulletin board material to keep egos in check. I don't know what you guys think, but honestly, I'm more comfortable having a letdown game at the end of the regular season rather than seeing a replay of the Ravens playoff game. It's out of our system, and now we can buy tickets to Dallas.
So if you lose this week in Buffalo, which, just to give a quick preview of Thursday, Fred Kirsch, teaser upstairs, said he may be picking the Bills, so I urge everyone to stay around all week till we get to the Thursday afternoon picks. But if you lose in Buffalo, was the performance against the Packers still a good thing? Because I wouldn't think so. Now you're just playing poorly or two straight
right,
games. Like.
Right.
Well, that was my point earlier in the show when I was talking about what does it tell you? You know, how do you take, you know, the game the other night? Yeah, well, I thought we were playing great. Now, not so much. Now I need to see more. And
well, you were playing great, but I think a realist knew you were playing above your head. You weren't that dominant. You weren't.
Well, I mean,
five touchdown victories each week when I roll it out.
They've played 14 games, and 12 of them have been very, very similar. Two of them were blowouts, the Jets and the Bears. Yeah, you know, the other games
were
all.
Are you trying to tell
me
that Lisa Lobo isn't a man?
Yeah, her name is Rebecca.
Rebecca Lobo.
First of all. And
oh
I don't know
God.
Where you come up with
imagine
these
if she married Damon Amendola and they had kids.
She married Steve Rushen from Sports Illustrated. I don't know if they're still married.
She also used to date the other guy, right?
I'm sorry.
The stupidest man in America, NBC guy. Dan Patrick's cohort.
Keith Olbermann?
Yeah, she dated him for a while, I think.
Oh, is that Jen Rosati?
Oh, you got a thing for her?
I used to, but evidently not anymore.
Yeah, that's a tough crew there that's talking about women's basketball right now on ESPN.
That's a bunch of, what did Nymus call them?
Well, let's not go there.
That was Rutgers.
Oh.
Mike in D.C., I'm a first-year listener. You guys are full of laughs and keep work interesting. Anyway, my question is, if the Patriots do lock down the number one seed Sunday, do you rest the starters the final week? We talked about that earlier. Paul says they've done both.
I think they might get a little rest there, though. I wouldn't be surprised.
Who?
The frontline guys. Yeah.
I would rest Vince.
Guys that have played a lot of
maybe
minutes.
Maybe McCourty.
Guys that have played a lot of minutes and maybe banged up a little bit. And let's face it, everybody's banged up now at this time of year. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Can't rest
to see
them all, though, Paul.
No. And you know, Bill, I mean,
it's
Fred,
important to the guys who play.
Bill will tell you, the guys that were on the field, we were playing to win.
So sure. Taylor Price might be active?
If they need him. I don't
answer
know.
Any questions with an answer.
Might he? Yes, he might be active.
I'm saying he's
is
active
that
against
is
the
that
Dolphins.
Is that a definitive answer?
Taylor Price, active, Dolphins. Book it.
I'll wait and see what the injury situation is after this game.
Warren, in the UK, there have been Taylor a couple Price, of active. The 07 season mentioned today, so I have a question. Which offensive player that we have this year would you have liked on the 07 team? I'd take Gronk over Watson that season.
God, yeah.
And defensively, I'd have McCourty over Hobbs. God, yeah, again.
Oh. You might win the Super Bowl if he's on that team.
Right.
Let's see. We came 30 seconds away to winning as is. Yeah, I'm going to guess you would have won it with those two swaps.
And what if you had to, if you take those two, but you have to swap Merriweather for Rodney Harrison? Then now you lose it again?
No, but why? I mean, it's our game. Why do we have to be fair?
I'm just saying, you know, just make it a little bit more
trade.
Interesting.
When?
Because I think McCourty for Hobbs is a no-brainer, and I think Gronkowski for Watson is a no-brainer. But what if, in order to get that, you had to give up Rodney Harrison for Brandon Merriweather? I don't know. I'm just playing a stupid game. These guys don't want to play.
Stupid as stupid does.
Let's see. Raymond.
Dent Raymond?
From Denton, Texas.
Oh.
Which loss, knock on wood, would hurt the most in this year's playoffs since there is no so much expectation now? A loss like one against the Ravens in the first game or a loss like the one against the Giants in the Super Bowl? Well, you can't. Losing in the Super Bowl, you can't. You know, I've been there, and you guys have been there, and that there's nothing like losing in the Super Bowl. You can't.
I think it would be.
You get so far, and.
No, but I think the question is just a close loss or a blowout loss, which hurts more. in the playoffs this year.
Oh.
See, I didn't take it
close,
that way.
The close loss always hurts more to
yeah.
me.
Blowout loss, you have to move past it in the first quarter.
You chalk it up to the Baltimore game and just say, you know what? They played well. We didn't. We lost. There were no ifs, ands, or buts.
The other one, you relive every play because you're saying, is that the play that would have changed the game? Would have won it for us.
In 05, when they lost at Denver, they turned the ball over like four or five times, and, you know, they got beat. They played a bad game, and Denver took advantage. The next year against the Colts, when they blew the lead and lost 38-34, that one hurt far more. Much more.
Well, you had such a lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you blew it. Strippers writes in a fun fact about the Patriots. The Patriots continue to rotate their safeties more than almost any other team. James Sanders, Brandon Merriweather, and Patrick Chung all played 65-plus snaps, with Chung lining up in the slot as a corner almost half the time. Just a fun fact.
Just a fun fact.
Somebody, by the way, wanted to nickname Hermie the Great, I think, on SPFW, wanted to nickname Dan Conley Devin Hefster for his return ability.
Oh.
Get it?
Hef.
He's fat. Yeah. Hefty.
Keith in Dallas.
Does he have a nickname? I didn't know. Have you heard any Dan Conley nicknames?
No, I haven't.
Crazy Legs Connolly.
Is that what they call him?
That's what I call
him. That's what Fred calls him.
You call everybody that.
Keith in Dallas, the real question is, are we the Colts of last year? Meaning their defense wasn't great and they got burned on the biggest stage against a great pass offense. I think if we have to go against a team like the Saints, we lose. The problem is with Gary Guyton, the same spare that allowed Ray Rice to gash us in the playoffs. What? I don't know.
I think Gary Guyton takes far too much heat for the playoff performance. He was one of 10 guys on the field in that game. Why does he seem to be the only one?
That's the problem. He was one of 10? Shouldn't he have been
one of 11 guys?
I don't know.
In that game, that was a total just
Jimmy was scraping to see.
Meltdown.
So it is 10 other guys that are responsible.
Let's see. This is Craig writing in. He says, Paul is correct about the versatility. The 07 offense only lined up in pass. They never used tight ends and barely used the running game. How can you even start to say that this team is less versatile? So
what?
Maybe St. Paul's wrong.
Yeah, you disagree with me.
Right,
then,
less productive? Yes. The 2007 team only...
2007 Patriots could beat you any way they wanted.
Yes, the 2007 team only punted 6 times. No team will ever match that again. But we have 48 offensive touchdowns this season, 17 rushing, 31 passing. That leaves the league by 2 more that teams have total touchdowns. They are much more balanced now, and it is scary to defend this team because they are power-based. I was not trying to say
they're power-based.
That's what he says. Let me finish his email.
Okay.
I just wanted
to make sure I heard it right.
I was not trying to say the execution level has been the same as 07, but the 2010 team is much harder to defend for opposing defenses. My last email was about the team, not the 07 offense versus 2010 offense. The versatility is better on both sides of the ball. There's probably 17 starters on each side of the ball. My comment was just that the team has not been on the field nearly as much as the other teams in the league, yet we score the most points. Defense is young and has played down to lesser opponents, but it will get better just watching the playoffs. The team has 56 touchdowns. Expect more.
Well, I do.
I would expect them to score more touchdowns in the next 2 weeks.
2 games less. Absolutely. They probably got another 6 or 7 touchdowns in them.
At least. I just disagree with the whole versatility angle, that's all. I
mean,
they're
just playing
because
a lot
you're playing a lot of guys doesn't mean you're more versatile.
Well, they're playing more guys on defense because they don't have guys that can play.
Exactly.
They're platooning it, essentially, where Bill is trying to make matchups every snap.
It's a big-time scheme every game.
I mean, yeah. Dane Fletcher isn't playing because he's so great. He's the great Dane Fletcher.
Yeah.
They're trying to match up everything, every play.
I think that even Bill Belichick would admit this defense cannot just line up and beat you.
They have
to scheme for the opponent.
Can't beat you anyway.
Yeah, and they always have been sort of that type of game plan team, but especially this year.
Yes.
Eric from Cali, hemorrhoids are also called piles. They're swollen and inflamed veins in your anus and lower rectum. Hemorrhoids may result from straining during a bowel movement or from the increased pressure on these veins during pregnancy, among other causes. So either one could be relevant to Paul.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
A sometimes embarrassing topic of discussion, hemorrhoids are one of the most common ailments. By age 50, about half of adults have had to deal with the itching, discomfort, and bleeding that can signal the presence of hemorrhoids. Fortunately, many effective options are available to treat hemorrhoids. Most people can get relief from symptoms using home treatments, lifestyle changes, and just drinking to get drunk. I added that in.
Lifestyle changes. What does that mean?
Because the jerk had to restart the game because someone shot into the wrong hole.
Uh-oh.
That was well done.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Yeah, time's up.
Who was that from?
I don't know, but for him to find that.
That was from you with your carnival story with your niece, maybe, who was playing the game, squirting the gun.
Yeah.
Right.
Robbery.
Oh, yeah. I was Jackson a
highway
that
robbery.
Game at,
we will be back tomorrow to move on to the Buffalo Bills. Going to be a big day tomorrow. Warm. Media day, pizza.
Media day.
Everybody
pizza.
Will
hopefully,
be here.
Hopefully some pepperoni now that I've made a note of that.
Paul will not be here.
We'll be talking.
I'm sad about that. I love this show.
Oh, you're not going to
be face down.
Call in?
No.
Call in. That'll be funny. Right off you come
right
up.
Right on
here.
The operating
this is
table.
Paul calling in from the
from my
operating
anus.
Table.
Ow! All right, we'll be back, and we're going to keep our eye on the weather because that might be a factor this weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.